much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
If blowing up the Twin Towers was such a radical move, well, maybe we need to do that again to get their attention.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
We're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is your fire.
You are a delight.
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
And now,
this next character is called the guy from Queens who's obsessed with cargo shorts. Here we go, the guy from Queens, New York, who's obsessed with cargo shorts. What are those, cargo shorts?
Our feature presentation.
That little kid was me, wasn't he?
Yes, that was you. That was rare YouTube video of Kevin as a youngster. Yeah, that's good stuff right there.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
Starting to get some email now about the Hey, Lisa.
What? I just am excited to see my lady friend. That's all.
Yeah, I know.
But I think he's been a little lax, to be honest.
You do?
Yeah, he doesn't do it every day.
Because here's what happens. He doesn't say, Hey, Lisa.
Oh, no, it's creepy Bean.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So somebody said, I can't start my morning every morning with Bean saying, Hey, Lisa.
It's not because of that inflection. Creepy. It's not meant to be creepy at all.
Is it meant to be sexy?
No, it's not even meant to be sexy.
Oh, come on. That's not true.
Please.
It's not meant to
be. Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
It's meant to just be, Hey, I'm excited to see you.
Then say, Hey, Lisa.
Yeah, but where are you excited?
That's the point. Yeah. That's exactly the point. But Kevin, Hey, Lisa, that doesn't indicate excited. That just indicates, oh, I'm aware you're in the room.
No, it
That's
doesn't.
All that says. If,
with enthusiasm, it means you're happy to see me.
Hey, Lisa.
No. That has a lot That's, in it. I'm not doing it like that.
Yes, you are, first of all, and there's a lot in that.
All right, here's a bizarre story. You might have seen this already, but are you aware of this controversy about the high schools in Texas and
No.
what the winning team was chanting to the losing team? This has been all over No. the news. It's caused quite a firestorm. And by the way, I was thinking before I tell you the details of this story, there's nothing you can do to control what a crowd cheers at a sporting event.
No, that's true.
And remember when Kobe was going through his trial?
Oh, yeah.
In Colorado, and he was still, you know, flying away to go play with the Lakers, and you know the opposing team's fans would cheer, you know, no means no, and things like that. They'd get a chant going. I mean, you
right.
can make up anything, and there's no way to stop a crowd. And once it gets started, it's hard to do anything about. And you know, a bad ref call, then everybody starts chanting bullshit, bullshit. You know, right? And how funny is it when you hear that on TV? Because there's no way to cut it out. You can't dump it on the delay button because everybody's doing it for a long time, right?
Yep.
So here's a story where a team, Alamo Heights, beats another team, Edison High School, in a crucial high school basketball game to decide who goes on to the next round of the playoffs. And the team that wins then chants something that has been deemed so racist that one school has had to apologize to the other school.
What?
And the players are not allowed to advance to the next round. They have been disqualified from the tournament.
Because of the crowd?
Because of what the crowd was chanting, yes. And it's being called incredibly racist. Like I said, it's just been a firestorm down there in Texas. What they were chanting was, USA, USA.
But that's not true.
It is true. Actually, it is true, yeah.
What?
Is that because this is in Texas, right?
Yes, this is in Texas.
Right.
As you know, it's a little inflammatory down there with, you know, the near the Mexican border.
Big Hispanic
USA,
population.
USA, USA, USA.
Alamo Heights is a mostly white basketball team, and Edison High School is almost exclusively Hispanic and immigrants. And the intent, of course, was to say, hey, we're more American than you are.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, I could see that. Hey, we're Americans and you're not.
Exactly.
I could see that.
And, you know, there's been a lot of investigation into this, and, you know, there are people who believe that a lot of those students – on the Edison High, the Hispanic team, their families are in America, in Texas, illegally, and they feel like, you know, that's kind of a rub on them. you know, the chant, the USA, USA. So the, like I said, the schools apologized. They can't go out of the playoffs. And now people are debating, how is it possible that an American high school in America can't chant USA? And when you just hear that part of the story, it does sound ridiculous, but it sounds to me like their intent clearly was, you know, to upset the other team.
We're here legally and you're not.
Yeah, totally.
Right, exactly.
I can see that.
And so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know, there's a poll on one of the articles that I read on this that, you know, that asked people, was it insensitive? And it was almost split between absolutely and not at all. And then a fair number of people were saying it was just a misunderstanding. I mean, I think their intent was to tick off the other team. It would have been like, you know, if you had an Ivy League school playing a, you know, public school or something like that, and they were chanting, you know, we're rich, you're poor, we're rich, you're poor. I mean, you'd be trying to be offensive, not racist.
Here's how you tell. Do they ever chant USA after any other game?
They do. They chant USA.
Every game?
No, not every game. They have done it before, though. That's one of the things they went back and looked into it. But it kind of doesn't make any sense because all the players on both teams are American, and the game is in America.
So now they're just stupid.
Well, that's what other people are saying. So anyway, it's a big ball of mess.
If you want to say that, Lisa, that's fine.
Well, I mean, if the other team that they chanted it at is also mostly white kids...
Well, they're mostly Hispanic kids.
No, but the other team, they've chanted this before.
Oh, I see.
Right,
and
exactly,
if it was
a
team that resembled them, then it doesn't make any sense, and it does make them kind of just
unless I mean, we say, you know, we chant USA, USA on this show just when you're excited about winning, you're excited about being number one. You know, I mean, it has kind of, it used to just mean one thing. But now it kind of just means, hey, look at me kind of thing. You know what I mean? And then other people are bringing up, and I think, Kevin, you've experienced this in person many times. You know, even Mexican-Americans, they're all about chanting Mexico. And,
question.
At soccer games, for instance, in Southern California. I mean, they're very proud to chant their home country, even though they're Americans living in America.
But you know what's weird about that is that's all right.
Yes.
Nobody gets upset about that because you know they're
only
proud
white people,
of being from Mexico.
Because only white people can be racist. That's what we've learned. That's
USA! USA! USA!
So,
USA! USA! USA!
All right, can we start let's start chanting that every time somebody Hispanic calls. Is that what we're taking away from this or no?
I think so. I think that's the plan now.
Good point. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. Okay. This is the first time I've seen you, heard of you.
No worries. We have Andrew WK in the studio today.
Excellent.
I hope we're going to party hard.
I know what. Here's the one thing I know about him. He likes to party.
Yeah.
He does like to party. And he's not shy about sharing that with his fans.
Just before that, we're going to talk to Dr. Drew,
likes to party.
Who could be considered the opposite of Andrew W.K.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't like to party at all. He's kind of a stick in the butt.
We have Robert Mazur, who was an undercover agent that infiltrated the banks during Pablo Escobar's reign when he was shipping all the cocaine from Colombia.
Oh, USA! USA!
Nope. Can't do that, man. People down. Taylor Kitsch is John Carter. We're going to talk to him today.
Is.
That movie comes out this weekend, and you were mistaken for a hooker. We're going to talk to you today.
Hey, Lisa. How was that? Was that okay?
That was all right. It was bad.
It actually wasn't bad.
We have a break called Let's Make Fun of Bean.
Oh, come on.
I mean, we might as well just name it what it is.
Yeah.
Right? Why play games with the words? We're going to make fun of Bean, so let's make fun of Bean. That's the name.
And we'll all enjoy it.
Correct. We'll give you details on the iPad 3, which came out yesterday.
So excited.
Very excited about
that. Which had a very surprising new name, by the way, because Apple they keep everything so under wraps that you're even guessing what the product is going to be called until they get up on stage. And, you know, the leading contender going into the announcement yesterday was the iPad HD, and it ended up not being named that, and it's not named the iPad 3.
You'll
never believe what it's actually named. I guess we'll talk about that when we get the reporter on to discuss all the new details.
And we have your tickets for April Foolishness. So all that today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beatnik.
K-Rock has a countdown to Coachella this year because there would be no other way for you to make sure to not miss it if you have tickets. Just 36 days. You can listen every weekday at 5 p.m. Be caller 106.7 and win a pair of 3-day passes right here from K-Rock for free.
Isn't it sold out?
It is.
Yes.
So the countdown counter is just a big F you every day to everyone who doesn't have tickets.
Well, there's a lot of people that have tickets. I'm
36
sorry.
Days. You don't have tickets now. 35 days. You still don't have tickets. 34 days. 34 days till you don't get to go. It's just a big F you.
I think people
excitement. Have tickets know when it is.
It's excitement.
Stop it. Pull that off. Pull that off our website.
And you can watch it on YouTube. As well, if you don't have tickets.
There you go.
I think the point is, you say, hey, it's 36 days, but then, you know, you get people all depressed, but then you come right back at them with, but you can still win your tickets today at 5. I think that's the goal here, Ralph.
So every day you don't win tickets, then you get to feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, it's a tease.
Oh, it is a tease.
Bastards. You bastards.
Go to krock.com for details, or not, if you're easily offended. USA! USA!
Nope, can do, man.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now here's Ralph.
Happy Popcorn Lover's Day, everyone.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. You know, we have, I don't know if there's some sort of federal agency or there's some sort of board of directors or something, but there's way too many days. Everyone can just call a day anytime they want. Doesn't seem there's any process you have to go through. There's no vetting.
Every single day there's something super lame.
And being in radio, they love to have you, to give you, you know, crap to talk about because most radio personalities are...
Me.
Empty. So... They give you this list. Oh, guess what today is? This is what you can talk about on your show.
Today's How long do they expect us to talk about National Popcorn
Day?
And
so I get a list every day of what the days are. And every day is like 8 days of the same day. Like today is Popcorn Lovers Day, Girls Write Now Day. Right, writing down, like you should start writing, girls.
W-R-I-T?
Yes. Okay. I guess
is that because it's International Women's Day? Is that why? Is that an offshoot of that?
Courage is women's... writing, I guess. The more women authors we need. International Working Woman's Day.
Okay.
Name Tag Day.
That's very important.
Be Nasty Day.
Be Nasty
Day. It's my favorite day of the year. I didn't even know this existed.
Wow.
I'm going to celebrate all day long.
You celebrate every day.
You have been celebrating.
F you. Organize Your Home Office Day.
Come on.
Occupy Staples.
I didn't get you a card, Ralph. I'm sorry.
All of these are
Home Office.
All of these are true.
Peanut Cluster Day.
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, I bet you do. And Purim, which is an actual day for the Jews. Happy Purim,
I wonder what that process is. If anybody knows, let us know.
How do you just declare a day?
That is odd.
Don't you have to get some paperwork filled out? Doesn't someone have to put a stamp on something?
I think you'd have to go to a governing body and say we'd like this day to be a day.
Is there a government agency of days?
And I guess they say no. I mean, they never say no.
No one says no, obviously. Peanut Cluster Day. Name Tag Day. Name Tag Day.
Who do you work for?
The government.
Where?
Days. Yeah, I'm in the Department of Days.
Maybe we need to start declaring some days, Ralph. Maybe we should go the other way.
Let's come up with a day.
Let's join them.
This is National Text While You Drive Day.
No, no, that's not good.
Not like that.
Look what happened to Quinn.
Are you talking about Glee?
Anyone? Yeah.
All right.
Quinn was in a horrific accident because she was texting while driving.
How do you know that?
She was.
David King of Mexico told me.
Yeah.
Dinah Agron. It's like, Dave, you still watch that show? Dinah Agron just got killed off. How can you watch it? No.
Oh, she got killed?
She's not.
It's a cliffhanger. You don't know what happened.
You don't know if she's been killed.
And I said, what happened to her? She was texting while driving. It's like, see, Dave? It's bad. You shouldn't do it. Oh, I can do it. It's good.
What happens if today is Pronounce Your Vowels Correctly Day? What does Dave do?
Oh, Dave's in big trouble.
Keeps his mouth shut.
All right. Let's talk about showbiz news. Snooki has officially come forward and announced that she is indeed pregnant and engaged.
No!
No bueno.
No!
She told Us Weekly magazine, because I told you earlier on, they won the sweepstakes in terms of who gets to announce it. And so they published the fact that she is doing it. And, look, we all know it's a horrific, horrific thing that she is procreating. However, we didn't realize there may be a silver lining to all this.
What's that?
Snooki says... she will not be returning to Jersey Shore.
Oh, thank God.
Now that she's a mother and a soon-to-be wife, her priorities have shifted, and she's no longer going to be on that show.
She'll be back.
She said she might guest once in a while. She'll come in on an episode and make a special appearance, but she won't be the Snooki we've come
special
to
guest
know,
star Snooki.
Know and despise
What's
over the past
five seasons.
What's
she going to do in the house when she... you know, is tired from taking care of the baby or whatever. And
I don't know.
What's she going to do?
All I know is the spinoff show, the Snooki J-Wow show, it has been announced will not be about partying. It will be about Snooki preparing for motherhood with her friend J-Wow by her side.
No, thank you.
So they'll be shopping for baby bottles.
No way. Not ever.
Breast pumps. Oh, MTV must be just beside themselves. Can you imagine?
How could you do
what
this?
What have you done to us? All right. What's the show about now? All right. Okay, hold on. Don't panic. Snooki goes baby clothes shopping. Yeah, I can see that work. Right? Right, guys? Right? Right?
No way. Not ever. Yeah.
More prospective news about the Katy Perry 3D movie this summer. Katy has confirmed that her film will be out this summer. Finally, my movie coming out with Paramount this summer. The title of it? Katy Perry, Part of Me. Yeah! What part do we get to see in 3D, Katy?
The best part.
What part?
Is it a concert movie, Ruff?
I do believe it is, yes.
So, am I going to see some jugs, or am I wasting my time here?
You know, her fans are called Katy Cats?
No.
Yeah. Katy Cats.
Ugh.
Who came up with that, Bean?
Probably.
You knew that, didn't you, Bean?
I've heard that, but...
Ralph, just so you know, this might be a good point to jump in and let you know that Bean and Dave the King of Mexico are working on a cute corner of all cute animal videos.
What?
This is happening.
Where? Where is it happening?
Between Dave and Bean.
Where did they plan to put that corner?
They plan, you know, I believe, to put it on the website.
That would be incorrect, sir.
I agree.
Yes.
It's a spinoff of the Internet Roundup.
Nope.
On your podcast.
On your podcast.
No.
Yeah, you take
there's
you.
No spinoff.
No.
Thank you, Ralph. I knew you'd have my back.
Can we put the pandas drinking milk in the Internet Roundup then?
No!
Nope.
Then it has to be in the cute corner. And a cute corner has to exist because that video needs to be shared.
You have a Twitter account.
You have right, all kinds of access.
Oh, come on. We need a cute corner.
Jesus. Kevin.
No.
Kevin.
No.
There's three people here who want it.
No. Oh, weird. This is a conversation that's going to be had
that's
out the air.
I'm
because
about.
There will be no cute corner.
That's
but
correct.
The fact that Dave insists that it's cute with a K and corner with a K, that makes it okay, right?
No. It does not.
No. No! Open up a blog, mother effers.
You
can
right.
You know what? There's a lot of room left on the internet. You can have all kinds of corners, all anything you want. You can have it. Just don't taint our show with it.
Listeners will enjoy going to the cute corner and seeing the dog play piano and singing.
No!
I saw
they
that
can
dog.
Go to cutecorner.com.
Right.
Or Clyde Tumbaugh's cutecorner.org or whatever F you want to buy and do it separately.
KRock.com.
King of Mexico's cute corner.
Oh, that! This will be it.
This
you know
is
what?
This
no,
is
I'm telling
make
you.
Or break it right
for,
here.
For years, there's a straw.
I'm with you.
I'm just waiting for it to go on my camel's back.
Yep.
This might be the one.
We have a video with a camel's back too. That's just for you, Ralph. You're gonna love it.
They're working on it.
Open just up a blog.
There's gonna be bloodshed.
I've been the lone voice of dissent. I had to bring you in on this.
Well, you did a wise thing.
All right.
And let me tell you, once you made a pact with the Garmy, then once your Garmy's strong, it's an assurer. It's
no
an
way. Thing, Kevin. Not ever.
I'll murder someone. I'm not above it.
It is Murder a Coworker Day.
That's right, it is. Speaking of days, happy celebrity birthday too. Aidan Quinn, 53 years old today. Great actor, Aidan Quinn. Just signed a contract to be in the new Sherlock Holmes series on CBS. Elementary, I believe it's called. He is 53 years old. Freddie Prinze Jr., haven't seen him in a while. 36 years old. James Vanderbeek. Remember Dawson?
Sure.
Remember his giant cereal box head?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want your life.
That's right, Varsity Blues. 35 years old. Tom Chaplin of Keen is 33. Andy Ross of OK Go turns 33 as well. Kat Von D.
Love her.
Our buddy Kat is 30 years old. Christina DeBarge. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Christina.
No way.
DeBarge.
Not ever.
One of my least favorite DeBarge.
Well, she's
DeBarge.
Not very talented.
22 years old today. And Gary Newman, who gave us Cars. He was in his car. Remember that?
And
a whole song about him being in his car?
Sure.
He's 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I'm just saying that in an hour from now, when we talk to Taylor Kitsch, the star of John Carter, Beer Mug, you are not allowed to ask him for a recap of what happened in his five seasons on Friday Night Lights, okay? You just have to let that go. You missed it.
But what if people want to know?
Okay, that's not the time to do it when you run into someone from Friday Night Lights 5 years. The show is on the air. It's already canceled. Stop it.
Can he ask you, what are the surprises in John Carter that people won't know about? Can he tell us what those are?
Those are the kinds of questions he asked. Anyway, we'll talk to Taylor coming up. Also, we have tickets for you to join us for April Foolishness. Dr. Drew on the show today and Andrew W.K. all coming up here today on K-Rock.
It's time to make fun of Bean. Make fun of Bean.
Again.
So, let's make fun of Bean for a minute. Bean is an adult. I know. And after the story, you're going to really wonder.
All right.
He says yesterday, he says, and don't write to us, listener. We do that on purpose. I might have to go to the doctor today, guys. I might have to go to the doctor.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were like, wow, what happened? And he said, I don't know. I feel like somebody's stabbing me in the arm with a knife.
Ouch. Did you check for an actual knife, an actual person?
Wouldn't it be funny if there was a knife hanging out?
That's what I would check first.
Where was it? Being your arm, your shoulder? What was it?
Yeah, it's my right shoulder is what it is.
Right shoulder, okay. So it feels like the knife's stabbing in it. That's bad, right?
That's a pain you don't want.
Right. So he says I might have to go to the doctor. And I say, okay, well, how long has this been going on, you know? Because usually my limit is 2 or 3 days. If something doesn't go away after 2 or 3 days, you go to the doctor and
Absolutely.
Get checked out. 6 months.
I'm sorry, how much time now?
6 months.
6 months of stabbing knife pain in the shoulder.
And I says to him, I says, why would you not go till now? And he says, and I swear to God, he said this, I don't like to go to the doctor.
Yeah! Really? That's so weird because I love
Me
it.
Me too.
Most people I know enjoy going to the doctor.
Here's what's weird.
I go just to ask for a prostate exam.
Yeah.
And here's what's weird. I have little girls that I am raising, which I know scares you all. And it
Did
should.
They just give them to you?
It should. No, but they're super
he won
young.
Him playing poker.
But they're super young and they say they don't want to go to the doctor. And
Kids
I say,
hate going to doctors.
And I say, of course you don't want to go to the Nobody wants to go to the doctor, but if you don't, it'll get worse. So you have to anyway, regardless. It doesn't matter what you want.
Right.
I'm teaching my little girls that.
Yes.
Right. As an adult, you understand that concept, and you just grit your teeth, and you just bear it, and you go into the doctor.
Even if you're scared of the doctor, and you don't like going, right. I can understand that. But a month into having a knife in your shoulder...
You think this is a serious problem.
Okay. It's been going on for 3 or 4 weeks.
So what finally turned it for you? Was it the numbness in your fingers that you're now experiencing?
Now he's getting numbness in his fingers and everything's getting worse.
Is that where you finally drew the line?
And all right. If I can weigh in for some context of this character assassination.
Let me just
finish. Come on, Lefty.
I'd like to just give one other example before you weigh in. You know that thing with his belly button?
Yeah, the herniated belly button.
10 years. That went on.
I had what?
That went on for 10 years. Not as painful, but that went on.
The giant, hideous
growth,
tumor-like belly button.
He knew
button
for 10
end.
Years he needed to do something about it and didn't until the pain was so bad that he finally
10
had
10 years!
Do you know why?
Doesn't like to go to the doctor.
Doesn't like to go to the doctor.
Wow, what a child.
Okay, I'm saying.
In the belly button case, it was getting so much worse
that
that's
my favorite Perry Mason episode.
I feared that it was going to explode, which it can do.
Yeah, that's what happens when you let something go for 10 years that you should have taken care of by a doctor.
I would fear that at 1 month or two. I don't know that I could make a year, let alone 5, let alone 10 years.
So I did get in, and I got the surgery done, if you'll recall, and it's been fine ever since. And now I have a model good-looking belly button. All right.
Yeah. Look at that doctor fixing you.
The thing with the arm is it hasn't been 6 months. It's actually been about 4, but it's...
sorry. I exaggerated.
Case dismissed.
I don't know what I did. I don't remember a specific incident. I just remember that sometime last fall it started to hurt, and then it started to hurt more, and it started to hurt more, and it just got progressively worse. But, you know, I just figured, and I don't think this makes me stupid. I think this makes me maybe optimistic. I just figured, hey, if I'm careful with it, if I don't re-injure it, it'll probably heal on its own.
That makes you childish.
That's what I expected to happen.
Not after a month.
We've all pulled things, though.
Right.
And, you know,
and a week later, it goes away.
Yes, that's what I hoped.
After a month, there is a problem.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Time does – you can wait out most injuries. You
that's
wait
what
about
I'm trying to do.
For 3 to 5 days,
yes.
Basically.
That's it for me.
If
that's
you get injured, 3 to 5 days, if it still hurts that bad, you go, oh, man, I got to go to the doctor.
I did something ruptured. I need further medical assistance.
4 months ago, and he hasn't gone to the doctor yet.
And it's been serious pain, right?
It has been serious pain. And in the last month, it has gotten to the point where it is – almost impossible for me to lift that arm above my head. So it's I mean, you should see me try to get dressed and undressed. It's crazy. And try to take a shower and all the stuff where you need to lift your arm, right? It's been really, but what's happened this past 2 weeks is the numbness in the fingers and now it's not even when I'm moving it or using it. It's just literally, it's almost impossible just to lay down in a bed because it does feel like there's somebody has a screwdriver and it's just twisting it as hard as he can, right?
So,
and that's all night, every night, and it really hurts.
All right, let me just stop you right there.
This is your defense.
Let me stop you right there if you don't mind. Okay. just the last 2 weeks alone, if when you lay down, it feels like somebody's turning a screwdriver in your shoulder.
Right.
Halfway through that, you go, I have a problem. I should go to the doctor. That's well, without the 4 years before.
It's funny you said that because I did go on WebMD, so I did take care of it.
That's not a doctor.
It's not like
it's time to make fun of Bean. Make fun of Bean.
Again.
I'm glad you went on WebMD because that probably solved the problem.
Is your shoulder pain gone? Title, what do you mean it's not a doctor, Ralph? It has MD right in the name of the website.
Okay, listen. You might be the smartest person I know. How stupid can you be?
I wanted to
Four
find out.
Months.
I wanted to find out what it was like to be.
2 weeks nonstop every night, and you're going on WebMD.
I watched the box set of season 5 of House, waiting for them to have a case like this, and it just never came up.
That's unbelievable.
And I think what it is
you don't have to think. Go to a doctor.
Rotator cuff is what I think it is.
From all those years of pitching in the major leagues?
Maybe that was it. I don't know if that was it or not. So I did call this week because it is so painful. I did call to try to get an appointment with the orthopedic surgeons in the hospital that I go to that's near where I live, right?
Right.
The only appointments that I could get this whole week were during the morning
show. Of course.
That's how it works.
Take a day off.
I could have an appointment
fixed.
At 8 o'clock this morning. I could have an appointment and see a doctor.
Should have gone.
I wasn't going to miss a day of work for something that I can survive, so I made an appointment.
You can't lift your arm.
But here's the thing.
You have to be bleeding out in order to go to the doctor?
Here's the reason why you did it the wrong way. Because if you do it after the first 3 to 5 days, you can schedule an appointment a month away whenever you need to schedule it during the day, and it'll be fine. If you wait until the very last second when your hand is numb and all night your shoulder hurts and you tell them that you really need to see a good doctor, they're going to tell you, I have an appointment 2 months out.
Well,
you don't get an appointment whenever you want just because it hurts after 4 months.
I got an appointment for next Monday afternoon. So I'm going to a doctor. You guys should be delighted.
After 4 months.
How childish are you?
What is your problem?
What is your problem?
I'm serious.
No one likes doctors.
I can't comprehend it.
First of all, I'm very busy, and it's tough to shoehorn that into my schedule.
You're not busy.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Can you sleep at night, or does it feel like there's a screwdriver in your shoulder?
There's that.
You're not busy sleeping,
and you're not busy. He's really busy.
You're not busy lifting your arm over your head. You save time there.
He's busy getting dressed, which takes 3 hours.
If I can get a doctor's appointment for 2 a.m., I'm always awake. That would be perfect. But
he's really busy.
Look, the point is that I don't like going to the doctor. And
nobody does.
Right. I'm going to go.
But adults circumvent that by taking care of their health.
Adults understand, even teenagers, I would say, understand that if things keep getting worse, you have to go to the doctor no matter what.
Not to mention the bad side is if you tweak your shoulder, if you get a small tear, especially in a rotator cuff, my friend did this playing golf. He ignored it. Let it go. And it kept tearing and got worse. And the doctor said if you'd come in initially, it would have been a minor surgery. Now we have to put 4 different titanium brackets into your shoulder, immobilize your arm for 6 months, and then another 6 months of physical therapy. It'll be a year before you can use your arm again.
I hope that's not true. I'm not going then if he's going to tell me that.
That's good. No, that's a good answer, is not to go. How could you possibly let this go on for 4 months? I'm just baffled.
It's dumb. And you're a smart guy, but
that's
it's dumb.
That's what I'm saying. Super smart. This is stupid.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you got a point. Maybe I should have addressed it earlier. But
you think?
I'm going Monday.
The belly button was 10 effing years.
So and I'm ahead of schedule.
And you knew at the beginning you would probably need to see a doctor about it.
Yes. That's true. That is true.
So for 10 years, you put up with at least mild discomfort. What about your quality of life? Doesn't that bother you at all?
Can't move your arm, can't get dressed, can't pick anything up.
Is that to put a crimp in your lifestyle
at
all?
No feeling in the hand?
Look, when you say it like that, yeah, it sounds like I'm making poor choices. When you put it in those terms,
in any terms, anytime you have that much pain, 3 to 5 days, you just go, if you have any sense at all, you just go, look, I hate going to the doctor, but this is bugging me, so I guess I'm going to have
better
to.
Now than later.
You just do
it.
It'll
only get worse.
All right. I agree. I think that's good advice.
Wow.
All right. The next time something hurts, we want to hear about it. 4 days in.
Hey, watch at least.
Yeah,
we don't want to hear about it.
Let him just take care of it, but we don't have to.
We
hear
just
about
want
it.
Him to go to the doctor.
Right.
All right.
Unless it's like unless he's bleeding out, then just lay down.
Just try to make it 2 months next time, B.
Okay.
He doesn't like to go to doctors. That's his excuse. Was he three?
Well, he's busy. No, he's busy working on Cute Corner. Give him a break.
It's time to make fun of Bean. Make fun of Bean.
Hard to imagine the Indianapolis Colts without Peyton Manning. I mean, I guess we've gotten used to it this year with him being out sick or hurt and not able to play. He went to a doctor, by the way.
Yeah.
But 13 years with the Colts, and yesterday it finally came to an end with a teary press conference. He and the owner of the Colts, whose name is Jim Irsay, they both got up there and just cried like little girls. Here's a little what Peyton had to say as he's preparing to leave the only team he's ever played for.
It truly has been an honor to play in Indianapolis. I do love it here. I love the fans. And I will always enjoy having played for such a great team. I will leave the Colts with nothing but good thoughts and gratitude to Jim, the organization, my teammates, the media, and especially the fans. I haven't thought yet about where I'll play, but I have thought a lot about where I've been, and I've truly been blessed. I've been blessed to play here. I've been blessed to be in the NFL. And as I go with just a few words left to say, a few words I want to address to
Jim.
Colts fans everywhere. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. I truly have enjoyed being your quarterback.
Seems like a good dude, doesn't he?
He always has. Yeah.
Always has. Now the speculation is because, you know, the Colts don't want him and they don't want to have to pay him that kind of money, but somebody is going to get him for less probably. Who's he going to go play for? Is it going to be for the Dolphins? A lot of people think maybe, Kevin, your Arizona Cardinals.
There's a slim
chance they come to the Seahawks, but the one that is the most intriguing is he goes to play for the Jets in the backyard of his little brother Eli, who plays for the Giants right across the river. So we thought we'd get some words from Eli, find out what he thinks about this, both personally and professionally. Eli Manning, hello.
Hi.
How are you, man? How's the offseason?
I'm Eli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You shouldn't be at practice. March.
I'm working out with some guys. I put together a workout.
So you're working. Okay, to stay in shape over the.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
We're playing field hockey.
Field hockey?
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the best idea.
That's my favorite sport.
Field hockey.
Girls really? Play it.
Girls do play it. That's true.
Speaking of girls.
Yes.
I'm so sad.
He is sad.
I'm so sad. I have one less Super Bowl win than my brother, Eli. Yay. Well,
he liked being in Indianapolis and wanted to stay there. It's not working out for him.
Really, you gonna make fun of your brother now?
Yeah.
Have you talked to him?
No.
Why?
Because he's angry at me. Because I keep texting him, boo hoo hoo.
Oh well, I can see how that would be a little bit of a rub.
Yeah, he cries like a bitch.
Where do you want to see your brother go play football next season?
Do they have a team in hell?
Oh, come on, Eli.
That's hey, look at mean. This. Look, I got a football. Look. I just threw it. No neck pain. I'm Eli.
Yes, you are.
My neck is good.
It is good.
Yeah.
How about if he plays for the Jets, though, and you guys, you know, are basically living and working within 30 miles of each other?
That would be great. That way I could spend more time with my brother.
Okay,
that's
nice.
How many more Super Bowls I've won than he has.
Well,
one more! Eli! Yay! No, I really hope he goes to Seattle.
Seattle, why?
They deserve each other.
How come?
I see.
Because Seattle blows.
No. Oh, I see.
Well. And so does my brother.
Okay. You're enjoying this entirely too much, Eli. You should be nice.
Better! Yay!
Is this the first time in your life you've been able to say that?
Yes! It feels so good!
Yeah.
Maybe now Mom and Dad will love me.
No.
Oh, Eli. Probably not. Don't cry, Eli.
I just have a few words I'd like to say.
Okay.
To all the fans everywhere.
Right.
I'm better than Peyton!
All right.
So David Sarno is on the phone. He's the tech reporter for the Los Angeles Times. He was at the unveiling yesterday of the new iPad. Hi, Mr. Sarno. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Our pleasure. So how weird was it? I'm sure you've been covering these things for a long time. How weird was it to not see Steve Jobs on that stage?
It's not quite the same Apple that everybody is used to. You know, Steve Jobs was Apple. He founded it in his garage in 1976, and he was there for all the major product unveilings over the last decade, the iPod, the iPhone, the iPad. And so without him, it's kind of just, you know, a guy in a suit type of situation. Even though the guy in the suit, Tim Cook, wears an untucked button-down shirt and jeans, he's still sort of a corporate executive, and he doesn't have the legendary power behind him that Steve Jobs did.
Yeah, that's a good point. But this this new iPad that we're going to talk about here today, though, I mean, this is something that I'm sure has Steve Jobs' fingerprints all over it. I mean, they would have already been well into the planning for this even before he passed, right?
Well, maybe. I mean, he oversaw the, you know, smallest detail of every product that he, you know, that Apple put out during his tenure, and would constantly be changing little details up until the launches, and even was known sometimes for stopping a launch because he wanted to get something right. And he's the guy that would call his executive team in the middle of the night and wake them up to get them out of bed when he had an idea about things.
Oh, so, he sounds like a nightmare to work for.
But, you know, if he has been gone for 6 or 9 months, then he's not making those phone calls, and the details that occur to him in the middle of the night aren't getting changed. And so it may be that he didn't have as much of an involvement as this one as he did in the previous two.
Okay. Well, what are your early impressions of what you learned from the unveiling yesterday of the new iPad?
Well, I was actually talking to an industry analyst after the show and asking her, you know, what do you think the wow factor was? And she said, well, you know, people, especially in the technology press, expect Apple to make, you know, do things that make cars fly or have mind control.
Right.
And this didn't have that. But she thought, you know, consumers are going to be fine with it. It's cool. It has a nice screen. It's faster. And so I was thinking about that, and then I thought, but in a way, Apple, that's what they're known for, is doing things that are so around the corner that it takes everybody by surprise. And the way the world works after the product comes out is different. And so if they're not able to do, you know, do things of that level, then they're not the Apple that they used to be. And it'll be great to have devices that are faster and have prettier screens. But, you know, PCs still come out every year that are faster and have prettier screens, and we don't have big press conferences about it.
So Apple used to be – they would exceed everybody's expectations, and now they didn't. Now they just did a better version of what they had.
That was kind of what Steve Jobs was so good at is, you know, even with all the speculation and the hype and the leaks and everybody trying to figure out what he was going to do, he still often managed to pull something out of his hat that surprised even the experts. And, you know, the jaded people that follow technology all the time had, you know, their own childlike moments of wonder when he did stuff. And so that I think was what was really cool about Apple. This one, for a lot of people that I talked to, didn't seem to have that. It was just, here's the iPad, you know, it's a hot selling product, and they're doing a lot to improve an already popular product, but it's nothing majorly different than it was before.
I got to tell you, the one thing that I've been looking for a long time since iPad 2 is, why can't they make a high def screen? Why won't they come out with a high def screen? Like, for me, that was the only thing that I really, really wanted, and they've done that.
They have, and the screen is much nicer. I got to play with one after the show, and it's a high definition screen. But, you know, if you have an iPhone 4, then it's the same technology as this Retina display that crams all these pixels into a little space, and your eye can't see pixels anymore. And so now the iPad has that. But once again, you know, if you've seen it on the iPhone, then you kind of already saw it, and so it was no major leap to have it on the iPad.
We're talking to David Sarno here on the phone from the Los Angeles Times, latimes.com/tech. He is the tech reporter for the paper. I was a little bit – I guess I shouldn't have been surprised that they upgraded this camera to a 5-megapixel. People love their cameras. But the iPad itself doesn't seem like something a lot of people are using to take photos because of the size of it. Am I wrong about that,
or
David?
Or video. It has good video too. But still, are you going to walk around with an iPad at a party videotaping?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I mean, what are the situations where you'll carry your iPad with you? If you're out on safari in Africa, are you going to be running around with it? Or, you know, out on a boat, are you going to be taking it and taking pictures of your friends? It's, I don't know. I mean, but there are sort of professional applications that you could think about if you're a doctor and you needed to take high-resolution images of a patient, or, you know, if you're a surveyor and you need to take photos out on the street and you carry your iPad with you, then you could think about that. But for the average consumer, I don't know that it's going to replace regular cameras.
Yeah. Tell me about a couple other things that are new with the new iPad, which, by the way, I guess is just called iPad, right? No iPad 3, no iPad HD, right?
Yeah, it's just iPad. And so nobody was quite sure why they did that. I think one of the executives said, we just didn't want to be predictable. And they, in this instance, managed to not be predictable because everybody thought it was going to be
Maybe they're trying to lower people's expectations.
Right.
Maybe they're trying to say, all right, this is a pretty cool product, but take it easy, everybody. Don't put so much pressure on us.
I would say a lot of their other products, they don't get new numbers every year, like the MacBook Pro is just the MacBook Pro every year.
And, that's a good point. All right, real quick then, voice dictation. Do I care?
I think it's a pretty useful feature. You know, especially one of the major complaints about the iPad is that touch typing keyboard is kind of hard to master, and you can't type without looking at it all the time. So being able to, you know, have a new way to get text into it, I think will be helpful for a lot of people. Although they didn't, even though they do have the voice dictation, they don't have the Siri feature that the iPhone 4S has, where you can say, iPhone, you know, tell me where I can get the best ice cream in town. With this,
and then it says, please speak American English. That's what it says to me.
They did show that there's a French and a German and even an Australian version of Siri coming out, though. So
sure.
Folks around the world will be able to use it, too.
All right, last question. Availability is always is often a problem with Apple products. We always see those hardcore users that are lined up out in front of the store, and Kevin had trouble all day yesterday even pre-ordering this new iPad because the website seemed to be overloaded. Is this going to be a tough item to get in the first couple of months?
I don't think so. Apple has half of their business is being able to crank out, huge numbers of these things from these factories, you know, that you've heard about in China. And
right.
So they're constantly building new factories, and it's good for their business to be able to build as many as they can. So I think they've gotten a lot better at being able to build them. My guess is that if anybody, the easiest way to get one will be to order it online so that it arrives in the mail. You don't have to go wait in a long line in front of the store. But, yeah, I think you'll be able to get one if you want one.
And there are so many Chinese people over there that when they die on the assembly line, they just replace them with another guy, right? They barely skip a beat.
Wow. Don't make us all feel bad.
I'm just saying. All right. That's it's a week from tomorrow then. Friday. A week from tomorrow is when they come out, right?
Yep.
I ordered one. I was told the 16th.
That's a week from tomorrow.
Okay. Exactly. Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. LATimes.com/tech to read David Sarno. You can follow him on Twitter at DSarno, S-A-R-N-O. Thanks for the time, sir.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. And being
with me. We're going to talk to a guy who infiltrated the banks behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin cartel. You're right. It does sound like something Vincent Chase would like.
Say hello to my little friend.
He has written a book called The Infiltrator. That's coming up. Also, your tickets for April Foolish is on the way here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Happy Peanut Cluster Day, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I want to talk to who's in charge of days.
I do too. I don't know how.
It's nuts.
I have to have Dave do some research.
Yeah.
Or someone else.
Someone good. Hey, listen. Finally, television is getting smart. I've been saying forever we needed a show like this, and now ABC's doing it. It's going to be a singing competition show.
Oh, what?
Where young people will go on who have talent, perhaps undiscovered singers,
right?
And they will go on to a television program, and on that show they'll be able to compete via singing competition.
Because ordinarily those kinds of people can't get heard. They can't get an appointment with a record company or something like that, so this gives them the opportunity. That's brilliant.
So we can discover some great talent.
How could no one have thought of this?
I don't know, but finally ABC is getting on the singing competition bandwagon, 10 years after it started.
Yeah! Why so quick, ABC?
Why so soon, ABC? Cool your jets. Think this over. This may not be a proven format yet.
Give it some time to prove itself.
ABC is calling their show Duets.
Oh, see what they're doing?
See what happens here is
the singers will get mentored by their four superpowered mentors.
Judges that hit red buttons?
No, they don't hit the buttons.
They turn their chair around?
They don't turn the chair. That's the other show.
All right.
But these four mentors will also sing, wait for it, duets with the competitors.
So the competitors aren't even singing by themselves. They're singing with professionals.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
The four hefty names who will be the mentors on the program? Jennifer Nettles.
Oh,
everyone.
Jennifer
Sugar
Nettles.
Jennifer Nettles, famous pitcher for the A's, no? I think it was.
Who is she? Sugarland.
What's Sugarland? Is that country?
Oh, Sugarland.
Very, very popular country.
Was Sugarland the band that dropped their stage on those kids?
Yes. I think it was.
Nice work, Sugarland.
I think that was... I was considered an act of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God saying, no more effing Sugarland. That's what God was saying. Robin Thicke. Robin Thicke.
Okay.
All right.
Popular R&B singer. He's Robin popular. Thicke.
He has a solo career, right?
He's
has
a white big, man big who sounds career. Like a black man, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Kelly Clarkson.
Wow.
Now,
wow,
American Idol can't be happy about this defection.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And Lionel Richie. Lionel Richie.
Wow.
Lionel Richie.
One of these is not like the others.
Well, he's a longstanding superstar, and I'm sure they're happy to have him. And every time he's on the show, he gets a little richier.
I hear that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, I've heard that's true.
So obviously.
There you go. Now, don't confuse duets with American Idol, The Voice, X Factor, America's Got Talent. It is very different, says ABC, unlike sure. any show you've seen.
I can see the conference room where they're going, how's it different? And you go, two people?
How do we set this apart? Oh, geez. We could, judges? No, they're already judged. How about mentors? They just help them out. No, they already do that. They sing with them!
Yes, that's it.
Oh. Next step from here is bands, where, like, the entire band comes in, like the Eagles show up, and then you get to play drums for them or something. And then orchestras. It just gets bigger and bigger.
I like
bigger.
It.
Yeah. Sienna Miller's pregnant. Don't bother to swap me for DNA testing.
Please.
It's not mine. I was very careful when we were together. She is pregnant with her first baby. From her fiancé, Tom Sturridge is his name. He's a British actor, and she seems to be settled down quite a bit. Remember, she was quite the,
yes,
the party
she
girl
was.
Back in the day.
She made the rounds.
But now, apparently, she is calm, cool, and mother-to-be. And Tila Tequila has checked into a rehab.
Did she tweet it?
Oh, yeah. She's letting everyone know. She's checked into Palm Partners, a rehab near Miami, Florida. Now, some say... This is because she was addicted to painkillers, which caused a brain aneurysm. But some say it was a brain aneurysm that she took painkillers for. Some say it was a suicide attempt where she took painkillers, tried to jump out of a window. All I know is that she's checked into a rehab. Can't,
Or has she.
Or has she, yeah. Can't we put an end to this?
I don't know.
When will our long national trying. Nightmare of Tila Tequila come to an end?
I don't understand the fascination with her at all.
Well, I don't think there is a fascination with her anymore. Until we heard that she tried to commit suicide all week, last week, every day, we hadn't even thought about her in a year.
And I think that's the point of her doing everything right now, is trying to get back into our social consciousness.
Hey, everybody, remember me?
She's like, you know what she is? She's celebrity herpes. You get an outbreak, and then it goes away, and you forget you even have it. And then you get a little tense, or you spend too much time in the sun, or you get run down, and boom, then Tila Tequila pops right back out there on your lip. And then you say, oh, that's right, I forgot I have Tila Tequila.
There's no permanent cure for
no,
that.
No, then they can. It gets spliced into your DNA, I hear. Today's celebrity birthday is Gary Numan. He's in his cars. He is 54 years old. We need a little taste of that song. You don't get to hear that song nearly enough, in my opinion.
It's a great song.
It is a great song. Ow, ow. Lisa, you all right? Oh, geez, the way you jumped, I thought someone shot her.
I wanted to hit the mic, so I turned it off.
What's
sorry.
Happened? She just fall on the sword?
Wow. No,
I won't hear that song. I refuse.
Lisa's finally putting her foot down after all these years.
The Dallas Book Depository all over again. Her head snapped back into the left. I didn't know what was going on. There's Doc's finally snapped.
Took me down right through the window.
Body's just jerking all over the
place.
That
is going to happen.
Scared me.
How sad would it be if Doc finally snaps and Lisa is the one who gets killed? When Grandma and Kevin are right there in the room.
That would be so inappropriate.
Because I taped him that time.
Gary Newman's 54. Aiden Quinn's 53. Freddie Prinze Jr. is 36 years old. James Vanderbeek from Dawson's Creek is 35. Tom Chaplin of Keene is 33 years old, as is guitarist Andy Ross of Go OK Go. Kat Von D celebrates her 30th birthday today. And Christina DeBarge is 22 years old.
I think she's a daughter of one of the DeBarges.
She is. She's
like,
second generation DeBarge.
Yeah, she should not be on that
list.
She's
enormously talented, Kevin. And
she
should not be on that list.
She's related to someone who was famous 30 years ago.
And she's an artist in her own right.
That also shouldn't be on the list.
She's an artist in her own right, and she's the next generation of DeBarge talent.
No!
I think
no!
We must celebrate it, and we must nurture it and tend that garden. Because if we don't, who will?
Hopefully no
I'm
one.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I think it's the solar storm. I think
is
it's
that
affecting
what it is?
Me. Yeah, I think it's affecting my brain. I'm worried about this. Anybody else worried about the solar storm?
Not a bit. No. Nope. Not a bit.
S is going down, man. The sun's blowing up, and you're just sitting there, oh, never mind me.
I don't think it's blowing
it
up.
It is. That's what happens.
That might be simplified just a bit.
The last time something like this happened, Reed Richards was turned into a big stretchy guy, and his buddy became rock, and another guy caught on fire, and his wife became invisible.
Reading too many comic books.
I'm just saying. If I turn into rock, everyone get the hell out of here, because it's going to be bad news. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thanks for tuning in here on a Thursday. We're going to talk to Taylor Kitsch from John Carter coming up here in 1 second. Two quick reasons for you to go to KROQ.com this morning. One is you got to see the story we're going to be talking about in a few minutes about Rebecca Romijn getting mistaken for a hooker. Kevin, you put up this clip of her, what, on Conan, I guess, talking
she's
about
on
the story, right?
Conan, and there's, the normal Kevin features, which is a giant photo gallery and a bunch of other sexy videos. That's all I do for the website.
You're basically a pornographer more than you are a blogger for KROQ.com.
I'm the TNA guy.
Also, and here's really more of my specialty, is I put up a post yesterday about how outraged I was, and I think you were with me to a certain extent, Kevin, when Adam Carolla came on this show and blasphemed the great Oreo cookie. He went on and said that Oreos suck, essentially. And
where's the outrage there?
Thank you, Beer Mug. I will not stand for that in my America, somebody saying that Oreos are anything other than the greatest cookie in the history of the world.
Right, which is also absurd. I'm in the middle between you two.
They're How awfully good.
They're
you're
really
in the middle
good.
Between us two, like an Oreo, huh? Is that what you're saying? So anyway, you can see and hear what Adam Carolla had to say about the Oreo, which was just despicable to me. It really was.
It was funny because yesterday we talked about a lot of things. But that's the one thing that stuck with Bean all day long. He was like, I can't believe.
He was on fire.
I'm outraged.
I cannot believe he didn't like Oreos.
Because you think Adam Carolla is a good guy. And then you find out. This is like finding out, your best friend, the guy who lives next door that you've been friends with for 10 years, is a child molester.
I don't think it's quite that bad.
It is. It's just like
that.
It's
not quite that bad.
How can I stay friends with a guy who doesn't like Oreo cookies?
Avoid the topic, Bean. You can do it.
We don't have anything in common anymore. So you can read about it. You can see a terrific photo gallery of Oreo cookies that I put together. You could also hear the audio.
Wait. I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Did you say you put together a photo gallery of Oreos?
Let's move past that. That's
no,
not what's
I would like
here.
To focus on that just for a second.
Is this cookie TNA?
And you can
because mine is of Rebecca Romijn, and some of the videos from YouTube and some of her bikini pictures, and you put up a photo gallery of Oreo cookies.
You can also participate in the Kevin and Bean poll and tell us what you think, if Oreo cookies are the best cookie in the world or not. So all of that is available for you at KROQ.com. What the hell's going on with our guest? Where's Dave? Where's Taylor Kitsch? What's
going on? I think he's doing interviews other places. Look at that. Go to the photo gallery. I want to see a photo gallery of Bean photos.
Well, they have all sorts of different kinds of Oreos, but that's
right.
Not important. Let's
Do you
not
have all the different kinds up there on your photo gallery?
I don't. Guys, I was just kidding. I was just making it up.
It's hard to say what you do.
I know. I wouldn't have been at all surprised.
How much time did you spend writing this post on Oreos? I mean, really? You had to be obsessed.
I'm furious. Because
but how can that make you furious? Who cares if he doesn't?
Because
you like them, so like them.
Because they're the best cookie in the world.
Okay,
by far.
Take it easy.
No, by far, there's not even a close second. Oreos are probably the top five of the best cookies of all time.
Can you name all the different kinds of Oreos?
Probably not, because they have a lot of them that come out that are limited edition that they only have out seasonally or they only have out occasionally. So no,
I don't think you're a real fan. Then
no,
you should
not.
Be able to do that just right now.
All right, we're still waiting on.
We are.
Taylor Kitsch.
And I'm
Hey, Muggs, go over on that microphone.
So
let's talk to you as if you're Taylor.
I think you'd be able to give us some good answers.
We are going to run out of time on this segment, unfortunately.
No. He's so beautiful.
John Carter, which is...
But there he is.
Oh, he's on the phone now. It's yet another movie about a Civil War soldier, Kevin, who gets magically transformed to Mars and then has to deal with new problems on yet another planet.
Again?
Yes, that's what I'm saying is I'm just so sick of the Hollywood retreads where they just keep going back to the same old plot over and over and over again. But I'm sure Taylor Kitsch makes it his own. John Carter is the film. It opens up everywhere tomorrow. We are excited to welcome Mr. Kitsch to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Taylor?
Such a standard story plot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. I know.
Do they answer how you end up on Mars, or do they just brush that by and continue?
Absolutely. You got one of the best storytellers of our time in Stanton, so he's quite brilliantly fused it all together, more or less.
I can't get my head around how many different things are happening in this movie. It looks like the kind of film someone might have to see twice in order to figure out all the different plots that are happening. Is it confusing?
Hope so.
Well, that's a good point, I guess. How many different kinds of creatures are there living on Mars? Because from the commercial, it just looks like a zoo.
It is. It is a zoo. It's great, though. I mean, it's led by Willem Dafoe playing the king of these Starks, this nomadic tribe that are 9 feet tall with four arms and with tusks. And so it's you got from that, from Woola, which is my dog on Mars, to the great white apes in that gladiator scene, more or less. And then, I mean, there's so many. It's quite endless, to be honest with you.
It is
a lot to take in, and you definitely have to pay attention. The script is very intertwined, and there's some curveballs and twists and turns within the end, especially.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I have to pay attention?
I know.
That's a lot to ask for me for a movie, I'm telling you.
Kevin, it's in color and there's sound, though, all so right, you're going to like it. It's not, yeah. It's not like The Freaking Artist.
Now,
okay?
Taylor, how was this to film? Was it mostly green screen? Was that difficult?
It definitely had its share, I'll tell you that much. But
is that harder acting to make it look like you're afraid of a monster that's not there?
I mean, it's definitely a different muscle, yeah. I mean, you got to have an immense amount of patience and trust with Andrew Stanton that he's going to do it justice and validate the energy that you're giving on the day in post-production.
Right,
that's
right.
That's what it boils down to.
And speaking of muscles, by the way, I have to tell you, I'm so glad I have you on the show here today because I am in the same boat you are where people are always asking me to show up for work with my shirt off all the time.
Right.
And I just feel like a piece of meat, like I'm always getting stared at. How do you deal with that?
Oh, you just succumb to it. I just walk around shirtless now.
Just do it.
Just
get
in. I'm just, yeah, that's it. It's that simple.
I love
just
that.
Go get a spray tan and do your thing.
Spray tan, just do it.
Okay, I will. Now, this is gonna sound like a really dumb question, but when a human goes to Mars, how do you breathe up there? What's the? I mean, isn't the atmosphere like not conducive to people?
Well, it is sci-fi. So you do. There's a couple things you may have to overlook.
Okay,
if that's the only thing, then I think we'll be just fine.
Bean's going to be sitting there going, "How's he breathing? I don't understand how he's breathing. This is crazy."
Do you get any kind of like
to me getting transported up there? But
right.
Breathing on Mars,
right?
But stop.
You're on Mars. That's
a good
cool.
Point.
That's actually a pretty good point there, Taylor.
Right.
Do you get any superpowers by going to another planet like Superman, like Kal-El when he came to Earth?
I think the beauty of this is it is an ordinary guy put in extraordinary circumstances, and that's the relatability factor in which will differentiate John Carter from so many of these, you know, quote-unquote superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lack of gravity on Mars, and he learns to have the ability to use it, and so he can jump from 6 feet to 150 feet, and then he has the strength of about 3 to 5 guys.
Wow. Awesome. That's awesome.
That's all like you, Bean.
Well, it's 2012 is going to be such a fun year for you, Taylor, because you got this movie coming out on Friday, John Carter, and then Battleship, in a couple of months? That's coming out in May.
Hey,
and
let me just butt in. Can we have you in for Battleship? Would you mind
coming
to the studio?
Okay. For sure.
That'd be great.
Oh, that would be so fun. And it's so great because there are a lot of ugly, unattractive actors out there who always wonder how to get work. And it's so great when a guy like you proves that it can be done. So
thank you, man.
You're an inspiration to the rest of us, Taylor. That's what I'm telling you.
Awesome.
Go see the movie opening everywhere on Friday. The website is johncarterarrives.com. Thanks, man. Enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks, guys.
Dr. Drew next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we got your chance to win tickets for April Foolishness 2012, which is coming up on the 7th of April at the Gibson. And Andrew WK will be here. It's hard to believe. It's been 10 years since he burst onto the scene with his first album. So it's going to be fun to catch up with him. That's all coming up here on K-Rock.
Ralph did a story yesterday in the showbiz about Rebecca Romijn, who was on the Conan show, telling the story of how she was mistaken for a hooker. And we're going to take your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you were mistaken for a hooker. Because it happens occasionally. Now, I'd like to leave out masseuses. What's the plural of that? Masai. I don't know what the plural is.
I think it's, isn't it masseuses for girls and masseurs for men?
I'd like to leave them out because it seems like that would be kind of a gray area anyway in that world.
Right.
Well, for most of them, it's not a gray area.
But in the client's
mind, it can be because you don't know which ones are quote unquote legitimate and which ones are not.
But it would be much more shocking to you if you weren't in that business and you got mistaken
for
a hooker.
Yeah, I'm sure it happens to them occasionally, and it's not a big surprise.
Yes, if you're sitting at a bar by yourself, you're standing in the street by yourself, somebody pulls it, there's got to be plenty of people who mistake you for a hooker. And this is Rebecca Romijn telling the story of what happened to her.
We were going to meet at the bar at the hotel, and I got there 15 minutes early, and I was sitting at the bar, and someone sent me a drink. And then moments later, the gentleman came over and introduced himself as Pedro, an older gentleman from Spain, and asked me if I would like to join him and his friends, and a whole group of older gentlemen at another table were waving at me. And I realized that they mistook me for a woman of the night.
Wow.
They thought I was a hooker.
Yeah, she didn't say how much she ended up making.
I don't think she accepted, Kevin.
What?
I don't think she says that she turned a trick. I think the story is, hey, they mistook me for a hooker. Isn't that funny?
Oh, I see. So I put up a post of her telling that story on Conan and some other good videos of her and perhaps a photo gallery that you should go through of Rebecca Romijn.
That would be a little bit awkward, though, if you're convinced that the woman you're eyeing is a hooker and you go up and you treat her that way. Offer her, you know, or ask for a rate card or however it is you approach these things. And then she says, there's some mistake, I'm not a hooker. Then I would imagine you would feel kind of dumb, wouldn't you?
Let's start with Danielle, who has maybe one of the best stories. I couldn't have even pictured this one. Danielle, hi.
Hello.
Where were you standing?
In front of a church.
In front of your church?
What?
All right. And so you were dressed for church?
I was all in white, long skirt, everything.
And what happened?
Oh, I would pay extra for that.
And a man came up to me, and he was like, hi, do you date? And I was like, I didn't know what that meant. And I was like, well, yeah, I go out every once in a while. And he goes, is $2 enough? And I was like, oh, my God, if you don't get out of my face, I'll punch you in the
face. Whoa, wait, is $2 enough?
$2. He offered me $2.
Well, that is insulting.
That's insulting.
That is insulting. Yeah.
Had he offered you $20, then you could at least go, yeah, at least I'm worth that.
Yeah, no. But I think he's a crazy man that walks up and down the street. But still, $2.
$2.
Yeah. That's insulting.
You couldn't even hold his hand for that.
No. I can't even look at you in the face for that much.
That's hilarious. Thank you, Danielle. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Ladies, it's funny when it happens. In retrospect, maybe it's not funny at the time, but it's funny now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Someone mistook you for a hooker. Your call's coming up next on the Kevin.
Remember the super hot hooker that we saw in San Francisco, Bean?
I do.
Woo! She was hot.
Yeah, he sure was, Kevin. He sure was.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you want to call, you were mistaken for a hooker.
Yeah, you got to look closely to find out which brand you're buying, though. Rebecca Romijn went on the Conan show, said that it happened to her. And Lisa, you brought up a good point. This probably commonly happens with women who are sitting alone in a hotel bar, right?
I would imagine if you're waiting for someone to, because I think that's where you also find them, especially by an airport.
That's where I find. I mean
they thought I was a hooker.
Let's go to Maureen. She was in Las Vegas at a hotel, the MGM, in fact, and it happened to her. Hi, Maureen. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for holding on.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi. I was actually in Las Vegas, and I had gotten separated from my friends really late at night, early in the morning, so I decided to hit a table.
Right.
And there was a married couple sitting next to me, and I guess a friend of theirs on the other side, and they were like giving each other little signals and clues and stuff, and I was about to get up from the table, and the husband leaned over and offered me $5,000 to go up and sleep with his wife.
Five grand to sleep with his wife? Now,
how was it?
Did he think? Yeah.
I,
I was going to get to that.
Yeah, no, I didn't take them up. I thought they were joking, and I kind of looked to the dealer to almost laugh with me, and he just kind of like raised his eyebrows like,
you should have bartered. You should have said 15.
That's what my friends kept telling me later when I told them. They were just like, why didn't you take it? I thought you guys are crazy.
Now, so basically they wanted you to have sex with the wife. They didn't necessarily think you were a hooker.
Well, I don't know. See, I think they did, because later on they had left the table and I walked away kind of a little frazzled and stuff. And I walked over to the dealer because I was trying to find my friends who he had seen me with earlier. And I was just like, what was the deal with that? And he was like, they thought you were, you know, a prostitute.
That's fantastic.
No, hey, well, not really.
By the way, we're not going to really understand these stories without photos.
Oh, stop.
If you email. I'm just saying.
This is quite a few years ago.
All right.
Thank you, Maureen. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay.
I mean, I think it's a compliment to any woman that you look hot enough that you could be a professional. I mean, that's how you have to look at it.
I'm not sure women take it that way, but yeah.
Yeah.
Let's try Melissa. She's on line one. Melissa, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. When did you get mistaken for a hooker?
Hello,
Melissa.
Hi. Yeah, I was actually walking to the bank up Sepulveda Boulevard one night, and on the way to the bank, one guy stops, pulls over, and asks, are you working? And I say no, and he's, are you sure? And I'm like, I'm positive.
Are you sure? Did you have to consider a life of prostitution in that one second?
No. And it happened on the way back, too. Another car stopped. Actually, he circled twice, came around, and then asked the same thing.
Sweet.
That must have been like a hotbed, that area that you were in.
What were you wearing, Melissa?
Yeah.
How were you dressed?
I was in jeans and a hoodie and sneakers.
You must look pretty good in that.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. All right, thank you for the call.
No problem.
Bye now.
See, if she says no, that's when I put down the $5 bill that I've been waving and pick up a 10. And then I go, how about now? Are you working now? Let's try Lindsay. She's on line four. Hi, Lindsay. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. When did you get mistaken for a hooker?
Hello?
We are having no luck with the phones
today.
What's going on?
I don't know why they're not hearing us.
I don't have that answer, but Lindsay, hi.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hey, party people. Lisa May, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, what happened with
you? I was at Morton's in Vegas for my 21st. I went outside to have a cigarette in between courses, as fine ladies like myself do.
Sure.
And I was standing by the valet, and a car pulled up, and I kind of backed up thinking he was going to valet, and he rolled down his window and wanted to know if he could take me home with him. And I told him no.
You didn't ask how much?
I did not. I was 21. I had never been to Vegas before. I had never even been to a Morton's.
What if dude had $1 million, though? What
yeah.
if?
Yeah. At least know what you're turning down before you send him away.
Come on, Lindsay.
It was pretty eeky. I know. At this day and age, at my age now, I probably would have second-guessed it with my financial situation.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying. That's the message that's we're trying to get point. Across to young ladies
I
here today.
I don't think that was the message, actually.
Thank you, Lindsay, for the call.
Laura writes in, I'm walking down the street waiting for the bus. I'm not dressed hookerish at all. I had on blue jeans and a tank top, which, by the way, could be outstanding. I was waiting a while. I had a book in my hand and my glasses on. And in the 10 minutes that I waited for the bus, I heard lots of honking. I normally don't even look up or acknowledge honks, but I kept hearing this one horn followed by, hey, hey. I finally look up. There's a guy across the street from me, and he yells, hey, baby, how much? It took me a minute to realize, oh, he thinks I'm a hooker. So, of course, my reply was, I don't know. How much does your mom charge?
Sweet.
Let's not be mean. The guy's trying to compliment you, Laura.
Sweet.
You got to come back and get all mouthy on him.
I love Laura.
A few curse words were exchanged, and then he sped off. So that's my hooker story. Have a great
day. Let's talk to Sasha now. Hi, Sasha.
I was in Palm Springs with a friend, and not only was I a hooker, I was a transvestite hooker.
What?
Wait, you were or you were mistaken for one?
We were mistaken for ones. We went to get food after a birthday party, and we were sitting at Denny's eating our whatever grilled cheese, and a table next to us, two guys said, can we basically, is it 20 for the front seat and 40 for the back, essentially?
Wow.
That's not what we do.
Big spenders.
And the guy said, I can see your dangle, took $20, threw it on the table, and walked away. So at least he got a free meal.
So he thought you were a man pretending to be a woman.
Yes. And I thought it was really nice.
That's not a compliment. If I could just be so bold. That's...
Wow. Were you out at the Denny's in Palm Springs with China and Khloe Kardashian?
We actually did come up with names. I am now Red Sonja and she's Lady Jade, but we thought we looked great that night.
You did, for men.
Except for the Adam's apples.
Hilarious. Thank you, Sasha.
I have very big hands.
Thank you for
the call. Thank you very much. All right, let's do one more. We weren't anticipating Sean calling us, but yes, he is on line 5. Hi, Sean. What happened, dude?
So I was riding my bike, by the way. Hello, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there.
May.
Hello.
And I'm riding my bike, and I mean, I ride my bike, and I was didn't have a sleeve. I had like a sleeveless shirt on, and this Volkswagen pulls right up to me, and he's like, hey, do you know where I can find some service? And, you know, I was kind of like, go-eyed. I was just like, I don't know.
To a Volkswagen dealership? Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I'm thinking, well, if he needs an oil change, but he was thinking of an oil change in the difference.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
Oh,
I gotcha.
My God.
And so I was like, no, I have no idea, man. And he was like, well, how much do you charge? And I was like, right here? And then he was like, well,
now,
how much do you
Wait, when you said right here, did you still think he was talking about fixing his car?
No, well, that was what I was saying in my mind. In my mind, I'm thinking, that's what I was still thinking is, well, what's he talking about?
Right.
And then it finally came to... And then he was like, well, how much just to see it? And I was like, whoa here.
How much
and
you got?
Like, I'll give you, well, and then he said $50, and I was like, man, come on. Don't
but that's
tell me
just
short.
To
I
see
triple
it.
Digits at least.
Triple digits.
Are you kidding? Just
to
show
to
it?
Just to see it?
Dude, that seems like that's a pretty good rate, I think. $50 just to show it.
Well, looking back on it, you know, I was 19. I was kind of young, and I was like, man, for $50, I would do a lot more than show it these days.
I show it for free when people don't ask.
That's right.
You know?
All right.
Thank you for the call.
They thought I was a hooker.
We got a real-life Donnie Brasco to talk to next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. A guy who infiltrated the money laundering world of Pablo Escobar. He's written a fascinating book about it. We'll talk to Mr. Mazur coming up
first,
here next.
You get the money. Then you get the power. Then you get the women. Wow.
Now Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have some tickets to give away to a particularly cool event. This is the red carpet world premiere of Casa de Mi Padre.
Yay!
The brand new Will Ferrell comedy done completely in Spanish with subtitles.
I cannot wait for this.
It just is so bizarre.
And looks so funny. Have you seen the trailer?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Just looks so funny. It happens March 14th. At Grauman's Chinese Theater. If you're going to see a red carpet world premiere, to see it at Grauman's, one of the classic older theaters in all of Hollywood, and to be out there with the hands and feet in cement outside, it's just such a quintessential showbiz experience. It's a great time. I've got 5 pairs of passes to give away for the March 14th red carpet world premiere. If you'd like to attend, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call, but I want to give it to a Will Ferrell fan.
Okay.
So here's a little trivia question for you. Maybe Will's best film?
Tough call.
To date, which is a hard, tough call, but for my personal favorite, let's say that, I think is Anchorman. But just laugh out loud funny, and just holds up. I can watch it now on cable and laugh as hard as I did the first time I saw it. He, of course, played Ron Burgundy in that film. All I need to know is what was the name of Ron Burgundy's dog in Anchorman? What was the name of Ron Burgundy's dog in Anchorman? 1-800-520-1067. Give you a hint. One of the worst names ever. Worst names ever.
I'm sorry, what?
Vahina.
I don't believe it was Vahina. No, that would be a bad name, but not as bad as the name the dog actually had. Here's words you never wanted to hear. Hulk Hogan's sex tape.
No.
What are you talking about, brother?
Tomorrow, we got to talk to Hulk Hogan about this.
Right. I've been dreading this conversation all night.
Hulk. Hulkster apparently was filmed, he claims, without his consent by a woman having sex with him, and now that tape is being shopped to Vivid Entertainment, the legendary porn company. Hulk says he has no idea who the woman in the video is. Apparently, it's a brunette in the grainy shot, secretly filmed video. He says he has no idea who she is because when he got a divorce, he claims he went on a 4-month-long alcohol-fueled sex bender, and he was with so many different women.
Wow.
He couldn't possibly know which one he was with in the video. Saying he hasn't
That's
seen
honest.
The video yet, but he does believe it was shot without his permission, and he will be prosecuting the woman once they find out who it is. So,
am I stupid for being surprised that women are lined up to have sex with Hulk Hogan?
Yes.
Famous is famous.
Famous, nope. And the dude's built,
oh,
you know?
That's true.
I guess. Some women like that look.
He just seems so old. I don't know. I was just surprised.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't say what age the woman is.
Yeah. And
plus, if it's a setup for cash.
Right. Yeah, really. And look, celebrity trumps everything. I don't care how old you are or what
you do or anything else.
Celebrity wins. And if you're in some podunk town and Hulk Hogan's coming through and you meet him at a bar, I think, sure, a lot of women would like to be with him.
Obviously.
So we're going to wait and see. We're going to wait and see what happens with the Hulkster. But that's a celebrity sex tape I'm not that interested in checking out, I don't think.
And who can believe that Hulk had a sex tape out before Brooke Hogan? Didn't it seem like she was on the fast track for a sex tape?
Oh, it's out there. We just haven't heard about it yet.
Yeah, maybe.
Congratulations to Lady Gaga, who's become the first Twitterer to reach 20 million followers. 20 million Twitter followers she's got. She beats out Bieber, who has a mere 18 million.
I scoff at that.
Katy Perry's got 6. And Shakira has 14.5 million. How about that? I wouldn't think she'd beat out Katy Perry. This, of course, is in addition to Gaga's 48 million fans on Facebook as well. So she has tapped into the social media thing, and she's got that going on. So congratulations. I'm, let me see. She's got, what, 20 million?
20 million.
I'm a mere 19.7 million away from her.
It's pretty close.
I'll probably get it by today, I'm thinking.
That's pretty close.
By the end of the day. I feel bad for my boy Kevin Smith, because he prides himself on his Twitter nation.
Right.
And he's got 2 million, which is a lot.
That's a tremendous hell of a lot.
How do you feel bad for him?
Because 20 makes it look not so good anymore.
Yeah,
you know
but
what I mean? He was one of the guys, and now I don't know. So
but you know that Lady Gaga is not tweeting interesting stuff.
No.
She's really not. Critical mass.
I'm just saying, I think I need to start doing a podcast with Lady Gaga.
All right.
Well, if I want more exposure, I think I got to move up.
All right.
By the way, our podcast, Hollywood Babylon, Kevin and I do live
Friday
in front
nights.
Of a live audience. It is
every
Friday
Saturday.
Night. Friday
it's
night.
Every Saturday. Every
tomorrow
Friday
night at the John Lovitz Theater up at City Walk. We'd love to have you come out and spend the evening with us. It's a very funny evening where we do basically this, only funnier and with much more cursing. And with alcohol and marijuana. So it's got all that going for it. Hollywood Babylon, you can go to thelovitz.com to get your tickets, but we'd love to have you come out tomorrow night at 10 p.m. and come see
obviously.
Us. Obviously.
Obviously.
And we'll be talking about, amongst other things, celebrity crushes. Adele has a celebrity crush. Again, this is interesting. Us Weekly magazine asked her what celebrity she has a crush on, and she says Alec Baldwin.
Odd.
I love Alec Baldwin. Oh, my God. I've got the biggest crush on him. He's so sexy. So there being, there's an older guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that. But he's a good-looking current, I mean, he's a current celebrity, too. He's on a hit TV show right now.
Yes, he is.
Hulk Hogan was famous and popular, it seems to me, like 25 years ago.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow when we talk to him.
That's
don't
right.
Worry.
We'll figure that all out when we talk to the Hulk.
The Hulk is unavailable.
No, I believe
a media blackout right
he
now.
He is plenty available.
Brother. The only voice Bean does.
I can't wait.
I don't even do that voice.
Bean does that, and he also does the Indian guy.
oh, that's right.
I do not have a sex tape.
That's it. Those are his two voices.
If I was Alec Baldwin, I would just crush Adele. I would just so knock it out.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to, right?
I think she's so hot. I know everyone says she's heavy and stuff, but I think she's just sexy as all get out.
I do, too. But you don't want to get on her bad side because she'll write a song about you.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That and you don't want to interrupt her to introduce Blur, either.
No.
That's something you don't want to do. And lastly, this is bad news for me and everyone else who loves Vegas. Jimmy Buffett has just got the go-ahead from the Nevada Gaming Control Board to open up the Margaritaville Casino.
Now, why is that bad news?
Well, that's actually, Ralph, I think okay because all the Buffett heads or whatever they call them will
Parrot heads
will go there.
But I'm just saying,
they'll
isn't there enough white trash in Vegas
yeah.
as there is?
Yes.
Do we really need more cut-off jean shorts and fat chicks pushing strollers with newborn babies in it, drinking those hilarious novelty long plastic cups full of pina colada, whatever it is they drink it, would pull it up in their RVs and
we don't need that
getting
no.
out. Oh, come on.
No. Is it on the strip or is it off the strip?
It's going to be at the Flamingo.
No.
Yeah. So it's going to be happening sometime soon. Margaritaville Casino. Yeesh. That's
yeah.
all I'm saying. You going to answer my trivia question?
We do.
I think Andy on line 7 was the first person to get through with the correct answer. Andy?
It is Baxter.
Baxter. Blech. Worst name ever.
That
Baxter.
Is terrible.
Oh,
that's disgusting. Why is that so bad?
That is a repulsive, repulsive name. But you're right, Andy. Baxter was Ron Burgundy's dog. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to spend the evening on the red carpet at the world premiere of Casa de Mi Padre.
Oh,
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir. And also congratulations to Nick, Christine, Jackie, and Amy, who all had to say, had that ugly word Baxter come out of their mouths. Yes. I apologize, but there's nothing much I could do.
First, you made me think about it.
I do not the Spanish.
Wow. No one could understand what that was. What for that future was? Reference, not able to make out that clip whatsoever.
Okay, noted.
Quality not good. Right down next to it. Right. Quality not good next to that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kat Von D's 30 years old.
Yes.
James Vanderbeek of Dawson Creek fame turns 35. Actor Freddie Prinz Jr.? Freddie Prinz Jr. is 36. Aidan Quinn turns 53. And Gary Newman, who gave us the classic song Cars many, many years ago, is 54 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Looking ahead toward tomorrow's show, by the way, Lucretia Review's Jersey Shore will have more April Foolishness tickets for you. And Adam Scott, the great actor from Parks and Recreation and the new film Friends with Kids, is going to be joining us. Plus, we got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up tomorrow as well.
It's Book Thursday.
It is. Even though traditionally the opinion of this program is that reading is for losers, every once in a while a book comes out that looks so awesome that we cannot help but tell you about it. And this is the one, The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. The author of that book, Mr. Robert Mazur, is on the phone with us right now. Hey, Robert, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate being on your show.
No worries.
Well, this book is so in our wheelhouse. I mean, a real-life Donnie Brasco is how I mentioned it a few minutes ago. For folks who may be a little younger, since Pablo Escobar has not been in the news much lately, refresh their memories as to who we're talking about
here. How powerful he was and what he did.
Well, he was the richest man on earth at one time, and he was definitely in charge of the most violent drug organization on earth. I got an opportunity to be a part of that, and I saw it firsthand. And the brutality that that he dished out matches that we see today by the Mexican cartel.
He would kill presidential candidates. He killed half the Supreme Court at one time. I mean,
he actually blew up a commercial airliner with more than 100 innocent people on it because he thought that a presidential candidate that he did not want to see get in power was on that flight.
Brutal. So even though you have a lot of experience in this area as a special agent, you were with the Criminal Investigation Division of the IRS, with the Customs Service, and with the DEA. Even with all of that experience, they come to you and say, hey, Bob, we want to send you inside to try to bring down Pablo Escobar undercover. Don't you just say no, just out of saving your own neck?
No, and actually it was a volunteer position, and it was really I thought of the undercover approach and designed it, but like many other former federal agents, I went through some undercover schools that you really need to have your operatives go through to make sure that you are not getting somebody involved in this who might be a little bit more prone to slide down some of the slippery paths of the work. And you mentioned Joe Pistone. He was part of the trainers who were involved in the undercover schools that I went through. He was one of my mentors and a guy who did a tremendous job. And there were others like him who were part of the training, as well as educators and psychologists.
You're a better man than I, because it says that you partied in $1,000 per night hotel suites, drank bottles of the world's finest champagne, drove Rolls Royces, flew in private jets. How do you not get lost in that?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I could have been eating at McDonald's. It really didn't matter to me because when you're in this
You are not a human being, sir.
Well, when your life is on the line and any word that you say that you slip up on could potentially cost you everything. You know, while I'm eating, my gears are going 1,000 miles a second trying to figure out how I can subtly nudge a conversation in one direction or the other in order to get some really important information.
Did you ever meet Pablo Escobar?
No, I dealt with his principal consigliere, a lawyer by the name of Santiago Uribe, and I also, his principal, my number one client was his major manager, a guy by the name of Gerardo Moncada, who ran 60% of Escobar's routes. He certainly knew of me, but I was dealing with people one step away from him.
What was your cover?
Well, I spent about a year and a half putting together a completely new identity, verifiable, and then I was involved in a number of active businesses, an investment company in Florida, a mortgage company in Florida. We had an air charter service with a private jet, jewelry chain with 70 locations on the East Coast, and even a brokerage firm with a seat on the New York Stock Exchange.
Were all of those fake or were all of those real?
All of those were real.
No
kidding. I was embedded in them, and also had the support of two informants who were in one of the five crime families in New York. So that was pretty much my protection. I didn't carry a gun or a badge. I rarely had any kind of a cover team. But that prior preparation and the support of literally hundreds of people behind the scenes over the undercover operation. I mean, there were not only throughout the United States, but in the UK and in France and Costa Rica and other countries where I was working undercover. There were a lot of dedicated public servants.
Was there ever a time when you thought, I'm dead?
Probably the closest to that one was when I was accused in a high-level meeting, face, you know, looking right dead at me in the face, accused of being a DEA undercover agent.
Oh, my God.
Whoa! That's too close for comfort, right?
Yeah. Well, what had happened is that there were some surveillances in New York when we were to receive $10 million in cash. And the local office there, understandably, were cops. You know, we need to try to do something with this information. My argument always was, stay away from the people who are dropping off the money. Don't be on top of them. I'm going to get the money. I'm going to send it to accounts. I'm going to invest it. We were having a condo built in downtown L.A., an apartment complex, and putting money in CDs. And so we'd be able to find a lot of this money. But they really wanted to follow those guys back to see, thinking that they would take them to the pot at the end of the rainbow.
Right.
And unfortunately, as you would expect, the Colombian cartel had their counter-surveillance out there. So Moncada called screaming to my undercover partner, telling him that there were feds all over the streets, and we had to be feds. And I wound up actually going alone to a meeting a couple of weeks later in Miami, in a not very nice section.
That's the difference between you and me. I'm not making that meeting.
You're done.
Well, and I told him I definitely did not want any cover on that meeting, because if they picked up on any more surveillance, it would have been definitely life-threatening. The only thing the cover team would have been able to do is to, identify where the body's located. They can't get there quick enough.
But you didn't know that meeting wasn't just a hit.
No, I, you know, the guy.
We've all seen Goodfellas. Come on.
Yeah, no. Well, I
we watch movies, man. We know
it was a chance. I thought was a calculated risk that was worth taking. You know,
and you must have been a good enough actor that you were able to convince them that you were who you said you were in your cover, right?
Yeah, and I think I had a strong enough bond with the guy who I met there that carried a little bit of the day as well. But you know, as I mentioned in my book, I really did. You know, if there was anything that I did wrong in this thing, probably was coming to the conclusion that I was willing to give up everything, anything, in order to be able to continue that undercover role, endangering my life, losing my family.
Sure.
I became an information junkie. I learned things in minutes that took my office months to discover. Give you a quick example. A month before the undercover operation was to end, I'd been given enough information so that I knew I was able to provide details that led to the seizure of more than a ton of coke that was in downtown Manhattan in a warehouse. And the guy in the cartel who'd kind of taken me in as his son was at the warehouse. So that guy got arrested.
Wow.
And a lot of people were very concerned because he was working directly with Pablo Escobar and many other people. So now he's in jail for 4 days. And we did like they do on The Sopranos. You know, they go to the mattresses. Nobody calls anybody because you're afraid that the feds are listening in. And so I finally get a call from his wife. We had a code that we used so that I could go to pay phones and we wouldn't be on our normal phones. And she said, this guy's name was Roberto. She said, Roberto's got a message for you. And I really kind of got a little tense, but she said, he's decided you're the only one he can trust. He wants you to take over.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I wound up collecting from his distributors and paying his suppliers, and really we coordinated all of that with the conclusion.
Aren't there people out there right now who want to kill you? Why would you come out and put your face? Did you put your face on the book?
No.
No.
Everything I do, my likeness is always in silhouette.
I see, okay.
And, I became a cop for the same reason that many people do. I wanted to be a part of making a difference. I mean, people do that in all walks of life, teachers who want to be a part of making a difference. You're willing to dedicate your entire life to try to be the best at what you do.
We don't. That's why we have people like you on.
Hey, Robert, we're almost out of time. Again, the book is called The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. And it's available everywhere in bookstores and at Amazon, and you can download it for your Kindle or whatever you want to do. I have to ask, 5 years undercover leading up to this arrest, and obviously there's great chapters in the book about how you got all the people together you wanted to arrest, and that's fascinating. But what kind of contact are you allowed to have with your family back home? I mean, how often did you speak with them, and how did you do it safely?
Well, I did the same things in reverse that the bad guys do. The old term back then was a roll a day keeps the feds away. You'd have a roll of quarters in your pocket, and you'd go to pay phones. And but like 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd go to the I lived in Miami, so most of the time. And I'd go to the grocery store. There'd be a pay phone there, and I'd hit the pay phone, and I'd call. Usually I tried to call as often as I could. Sometimes it might have been a week or so that I didn't. But on average, I'd say probably every second or third night, I wound up calling my wife. I called the prosecutor. I called my contact agent. And I, you have to stay rooted. You know, you really have to stay rooted in your real life during the course of this. But you can't allow that to interfere with your thinking and your acting in your undercover life. It's a very, very delicate tightrope walk.
But doesn't it just take one guy driving by that supermarket by coincidence at 2 a.m. for you to now have to explain who you're on the phone with at that time of night? And it just seems like every time you're on a payphone, even, you're exposing yourself.
Well, I'm at that stage. I'm part of the underworld. So, you know, there were banks of phones in Miami just outside of the bank that was laundering tons of money.
There were
probably 12 payphones there, and there were half of them were occupied by people who were from Colombia who were there calling back to give him information about.
So you were just one of the group.
I was just one of the group. You know, seeing me at a payphone at 2 in the morning is no big deal.
All right, we're out of time. It sounds like a fascinating book. I do want to just ask, is there someone that's alive now that still wants you dead?
Yeah, there's no doubt that there would be. I really wanted to tell this story. I think it's important for the public to know about, and one of the main issues is the active involvement of the international banking and business community in the laundering of hundreds of billions of dollars a year.
Hundreds of billions?
$400 billion a year gets generated around the globe every single year from the sale of illegal drugs.
I need to sell drugs.
No, that's not the message we're
that's
taking away
the
here,
message.
Kevin. The author's name is Robert Mazur, because I know a lot of people are driving right now, and we'll try to remember this. Mazur. The book is called The Infiltrator. Great stuff. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin
Beach. Website for the book, the-infiltrator.com.
The-infiltrator.com. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye. That guy's so much better than we are. All right. 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to go to April Foolishness, you're going to have to earn your way in. You're going to have to play a game. But you can call now, 1-800-520-1067, and we will play that game. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 29 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Terrific.
Oh, hi, Larry King.
This show's terrific.
Hi, Larry
King. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Kevin and Bean, you're on the air. Go ahead.
We are on the air. In fact, we're giving away some tickets right now, Larry, to see you and all the other great comedians with us on Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2012. You know, it's sold out coming up on Saturday night, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater.
Professional, baby. Look it up.
1-800-520-1067. This game is called The King of Kings.
It's Kevin and Bean's April of Foolishness. Where you get to see Larry King. You could win your tickets right now. Just guess the King of Kings. Oh, yeehaw.
Somebody needs to look into Omar's mental health.
What's happening?
Kid needs to go back on his drugs.
I think he's cracking.
Larry, how's this game played? We have contestants lined up for you on the phone.
I'll be asking questions of the listeners. The answers all are the name King.
The name King?
The name King is in every answer.
All right.
When you answer, you better goddamn say King.
All right.
ACDC? That is not acceptable.
Where do we go first?
Al, Van Nuys, you're on the air.
Hello, Al.
Yes, how's it going?
Good.
Here's your question, Al. This American film and television actress got her start on the 80s sitcom 227, but is currently starring in television series Southland in the role of Detective Lydia Adams.
King is in the name, if that helps
you. Yeah.
You're 50% there, Al.
Amanda King?
Oh, I'm sorry. Regina King. Regina King.
Yeah, sorry about
She's
that.
She's terrific.
She's great. All right. Where to?
Steve, Azusa, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Maybe you're on the air.
Maybe you're not.
Tell. Maybe you're
Steve
not.
Steve just got tased.
Steve, you getting tased right now?
Steve, on the shortwave radio from Azusa.
Hey, what's up, party people?
Hi, Steve.
Here's your question, Steve. This American boxing promoter's career highlights include The Rumble in the Jungle, The Thriller in Manila, and Mike Tyson.
Don King.
Don King is
only
correct.
In America, baby.
The Mountain of Black and Night. All right, you are in the drawing. Congratulations.
San Bernardino. Sean, you're on the air. Hello.
What's up, party people?
Here's your question. This American clergyman, activist, and prominent leader in the civil rights movement had a dream. Who was he?
That would be Mr. King, Luther King. Martin Luther King.
Wow. He needed help from a friend for that.
That is tragic.
You are a sad, pathetic.
Come on, white people, get it together.
We would have accepted the first answer, Mr. King.
You're a bad human being. Hold on. All right, where are we going?
Remember the Scarecrow and Mr. King? I love that show. All right. Redlands, you're on the air. Shane, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Shane.
Here's your question.
Hello.
This American horror writer is best known for books like Carrie, The Shining,
King.
Let me finish the goddamn question.
He answered it, though. He got it right.
No, he doesn't win. I don't like being interrupted.
Sorry.
You got it right.
Professional, baby. Look it up.
Larry, we already have time for two more contestants. Who's next, please?
Downey, California. You're on the air. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I'm Lisa May.
Hi, Ryan.
Ryan's stoned. I'll tell you right now, the kid is stoned.
All right, what's your
question? Here's your question. This African-American woman is a broadcaster and a writer, but really she's best known as Oprah's best friend.
Miss King.
Miss King. Not
is acceptable. Is that your final answer?
Well, funny, not going to get you the qualification.
Yeah, that's our best shot, guys. Miss King.
That's right.
Gail. Thanks, Gail King's her name.
I'm proud you didn't know that.
Lesbian lover of Oprah Winfrey. You heard it here first. Diamondback, California. Hello, you're on the air. Chris.
Hello.
Chris, here's your question. This African-American was best known as a victim of police brutality by the LAPD in 1991 and, you know, caused all those riots.
Oh, God.
We're going to give you a hint.
Rodney King.
King. Yes.
Yes.
Nice. Congratulations. We got one more. Time for one more. We're done?
Nope. We can't.
I heard the drums. I thought Jerry Lewis was asking for a tote board number.
This is the part where I remind everyone that Steve is in the drawing, Sean is in the drawing, Shane is in the drawing, and Chris, I think, was the last one we talked to. He is in the drawing, but only one can win. Lisa, who's going to April Foolishness with us?
Sean is the winner.
Sean.
Oh, no. Sean's not the one that had Martin Luther, is he?
Sean needed help with Martin Luther King.
I had Martin Luther.
Yeah, Mr. King, Luther King. When his friend gave him Martin.
You are a bad human being, and we will see you at April Foolishness.
We'll see you at the Million Man March.
It's Kevin and Bean's April of Foolishness. Where you get to see Larry King. You guess the right King of King. Thanks for playing the King of Kings. Oh, yeehaw.
Dr. Rupinsky on the phone with us like you do on Thursdays on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Here I am.
Hey, your friend Andrew W.K., who was on Loveline last night, is joining us in about 20 minutes. What'd you make of that dude?
He is one of my favorite people. You wouldn't expect he and I to be in love, but we are.
It doesn't. No, it seems like you would be opposing sides of the field.
No, I love Andrew W.K. I think he's one of the most interesting, intelligent, creative, productive guys I know.
He likes to party, though, Drew. And
listen, since when have I objected to people partying? People want to have a good time, but I don't care.
You're a wet blanket, be honest.
I am interested in people who want to change that can't, then I'm willing to help them.
All right. What is it you like so much about WK? Because I don't believe we've ever met him before, but we're very excited about him coming in.
He's just bright and creative and interesting. You'll love him. You will, I swear to God.
All right, a couple of things I wanted to ask you about. First of all, I see now that the casting call is out for rehabcasting.com for this show that you have told us about, which is like Celebrity Rehab except without celebrities. How's that going? What kind of response are you getting for people who want to be on the show?
You know, as always, I'm out of the casting loop. They just said, once they've decided who they want to put in, they ask me, can you treat this person or can't you? That's all that happens here. I'm telling you what, though, I'm very interested in doing this. Something I've always wanted to do is treat regular people on TV. Originally, I wanted to put regular people and celebrities in the same unit to make the point that we don't treat anybody differently. VH1 had different plans this time. They just want to treat regular people. People have asked me forever, why do you treat celebrities? Why not regular guys? I, in my regular life, I treat regular people. It's a relief.
Right,
I love it.
Let me ask you a question based on the celebrity rehab, which is everybody asked you when you started with the celebrities, will the cameras make any difference?
Right.
And you said, no, they know what they're getting into.
Right.
You forget about them, blah, blah, blah.
That's
is
right.
that true of normal people as well who aren't used to the camera?
You're right. At first, when I originally set it up where we were going to put regular people in, I realized they couldn't even consent to this. They had no idea what they were getting into. Now they can watch the programs. We can explain to them how it works. I think we can get a consent from somebody. I believe we can.
You think they know what they're getting in for?
I think they'll understand what they're getting. If I don't believe it, I'm not going to put that person in. If I really think that they're just not getting it, then no.
And as part of the draw for real people, and maybe you don't even know this part of the story, Dr. Drew, is that they don't have to pay for rehab because they're kind of consenting to be allowed to be filmed for television, and that's with their payment, right?
Yeah, right. That's the sort of tit for tat. And by the way, we give them really good treatment, and there's 6 months of aftercare. I mean, it's quite an opportunity.
Really. I'll bet you'll get more people that don't have money that want help than you will that want to be on TV.
As a social worker told me when I was a resident, hey, Drew, people that are into drugs aren't into making money in insurance. You know what I'm saying? Many drug addicts are financially distressed.
Right.
That's how it works.
But at least normal rehab costs, what, $20,000, $30,000?
Yeah, it costs a lot of money, and we're going to give it to rehab. But Kevin, I have something for you this morning.
Yes.
Ask your wife about 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of
Grey. Is this Dr. Drew's book club we're getting into now?
Yeah, what's happening?
This is a thing I took on last night on HLN, and I actually had Tucker Max on, who now, by the way, is in psychoanalysis and is a new man.
What?
Yes, I swear to God.
What?
But yes. but it's still Tucker Max.
Okay.
And he and I agreed, check this out, completely on every point.
What?
This is a book. Your wife and all her friends are reading. It is such a piece of crap, I can't even tell you, about a billionaire man who sweeps this young virgin off her feet. He sees something special in her and falls in love with her, except he was sexually abused when he was 15 by his mother's friend, who was a crack. The mother was a crack whore, and the mother's friend, of course, still his business partner.
Right.
And he's deeply, deeply into sex slavery. So he makes her sign a contract, to be his sex slave.
And this is a popular fictional book?
And women love this.
They love it.
I, for one, am appalled. I'm
because
mortified.
You think it's dangerous that they're reading something like this for entertainment, you mean?
So pathological. Forget Bean. Stop it now. That's what they tell me back. It's just fiction. It's just fantasy. It's reinforcing so many awful stereotypes and violence against women. Forget the BDSM part. BDSM, people want to be fantastic. They want to do that. That's great. Two adults, have fun, enjoy. This is not that. This actually pathologizes all of that and shows an extremely disturbed relationship. And I had a panel of women yelling at me yesterday, including psychologists, that I shouldn't interfere with women's fantasies. That
was this
is fantasy.
Was this on The View that you had people yelling at you?
No, this on HLN.
It's hard to tell where you have women yelling at you.
It's
Doctor,
true.
You know that just by raising the point on your HLN show that you're going to sell millions of copies of this book
for
this
at
author.
At this point, I almost don't care. Yes, I don't care. It was so disturbing to me. It was on the – in fact, funny you bring up The View. The same day I was on The View, it was on the Today Show where they made me sit down and discuss this book. I'd never heard of it before. It sounded awful. I said it sounded awful. I was attacked. I've never had such a bad attack on the internet.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've never been attacked more than over that book.
I'm attacked every day by the thousands.
Here's what's funny, Dr. Drew, is that I will talk to my wife about that book, and she'll go, uh-huh. And then I'll say, Dr. Drew says it's not good, and she'll go, okay, and she'll throw it out.
Okay, well done. I always know I like that
song. The book, Now You Want to Go Out and See It, is called 50 Shades of Grey. That's Dr. Drew's book club recommendation here on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
You're saying no on that, then.
No, but you did bring up The View. Did you want to ask me something about The View, Kevin?
No, I just hate you for going on it.
Oh, come on now.
Those people are evil.
No.
Come on now.
Look, Drew goes where the eyeballs are because he's trying to get his message out. That's all.
Thank you, Gene.
We're out of time. HLN is when the show airs on CNN's HLN.
Was Whoopi wearing a muumuu?
No moves, no.
Okay, just checking.
And, of course, Love Line with Psycho Mike again tonight on the World Famous Correct. Thanks, Drew. Have a great week,
my
friend.
See you.
Thank you. Ralph, what you talking about?
Stuff, things, and junk. There you go.
Let's start with stuff.
All right. ABC has announced they are getting into the singing competition show business.
What's that?
NBC's got their Voice. Fox has got their Idol and X Factor. NBC's got their America's Got Talent. And now ABC brings us duets. Here's the hook. Here's how it's all different. Here's what you've never seen before. The mentors are still simply bringing the talent along and helping these amateurs become professionals. The mentors will be singing duets with their mentees, students.
Won't it be harder to judge that person if they're singing with somebody who can actually sing?
Well, maybe they won't just be singing duets.
No, they're going to mentor them.
All right.
As well, that's what the voice does. You know, the voice isn't really judges. It's they take them on. They pick their favorites and then become like their personal champions and coaches.
I don't watch any of these.
Yeah.
I don't do karaoke.
This will be like that. Only in addition to Tom Bien, they will sing duets with them as well.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Anyone interested in something like that?
No.
Not really.
I didn't think so either. But look, I guess, look, ABC needs their piece of the pie, you know? They look at all these other networks making all this money. And
they're certainly on top of it, I'll tell you that.
They say, we got to get in the business. What can we do?
10 years after Idol.
Look, an hour of network television in primetime is very expensive. These shows, unless you end up paying, you know, your judges $15 million a year, are relatively cheap to make. So there's a possibility for them to get some real profit out of this, even if it's not a huge hit.
Judges for ABC will be Jennifer Nettles, who's in a band called Sugarland.
Country, okay.
Who routinely crush their fans, I'm led to believe.
I don't think that's routinely.
That's
they
what I
kill
heard.
Ralph is right. They kill a percentage of every audience that comes to see them.
I think there was one storm where the stage collapsed.
Some sort of Mayan sacrifice they do at each show, whereas they pick the virgins and cut them on an altar.
It was just a storm.
They rip the heart out. And
that doesn't happen.
And then Indiana Jones comes to get this big glowing rock, apparently, that they're holding on to.
That's not part of it.
Robin Thicke will be there. Kelly Clarkson. Formerly of American Idol. Of course, she was the big first American Idol winner.
Sure. That's a betrayal.
She'll be a mentor.
I don't think that's a betrayal, by the way.
And Lionel Richie, who gets a little richier every time they play his music.
I don't know if you say that.
Somebody once said that, I heard.
No one would ever say that.
No, that's true. When do I get my secret break on the show? When does that happen? When do I get to...
We'll see if we can squeeze it in tomorrow.
I would like that enormously. This is for Lisa, more Broadway news.
Okay.
You know, I usually am against the turning of every movie in the world into a Broadway musical.
Right.
But this actually could be fun, I think. Maybe.
Depending on how it's done?
Yeah, because Broadway's sort of getting edgier. You look at Book of Mormon, for example, written by Trey and Matt from South Park. And it's becoming more accessible, more sort of mainstream. And now it's been announced that they are taking the movie Animal House, which of course made John Belushi a big, big movie star.
Sure.
And turning Animal House into a Broadway musical. And at first I scoffed. I said, that's not possible. But the more I think about it, if the lyrics are funny and things go just right, it could be very interesting.
John's available.
John is available. He hasn't worked in a while. He could use a bit of a career resurgence. So I don't know. I don't know what to think. But between American Idiot and Book of Mormon and stuff, I mean, musicals aren't just for your grandparents anymore. So I guess it could happen. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kat Von D is 30 years old.
How much do we love her?
So much.
She's awesome.
So much.
I miss her on my TV, though.
Hmm.
What's she going to do now?
How do we fix that for being?
I don't
understand.
We can do nothing for you.
Andy Ross of OK Joe Go is 33 years old. OK Joe would be like a cool band made up of G.I. Joe members. OK Joe, real American hero. Tom Chaplin of Keene is 33 years old. James Vanderbeek celebrates his 35th birthday. Freddie Prinze Jr. is 36. Actor Aidan Quinn, 53 years old. And singer Gary Numan. Best song in the world, do the robot too. Love that part. What is that instrument? That.
I don't know.
I want one.
These are the lamest lyrics ever, though.
In cars. You kidding me? It's perfect. Talks about how we're all insulated, Kevin, how we're all isolated, all in our individual cars, making our way through the world. What happened to community? What happened to sense of other? What happened to us being a...
It doesn't say any of that.
That's what it's all about, man.
You don't know.
I love that video, too. That was back when videos were videos. A guy standing in a tunnel of Christmas lights with one camera on him for 4 minutes. Really? That's all you had, Gary? Good work. Oh, no. Wait, you do see his face magically appear in a tambourine at some point, I think. Stupid.
He's still got fans, though. He still tours occasionally and still has a lot of fans. You know, Trent Reznor talks him up all the time as being one of the primary influences of Nine Inch Nails.
Gary's not possible. The Newmans, they call themselves. I don't know. Newman heads?
Nope.
No? Garrett's?
Nope.
Garrett heads? No?
No.
Gary's Army?
No. They don't have a name.
Newmanites?
I don't have a name.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Let's get this party started.
Trouble finding a theme.
Holy smokes.
For you, Andrew WK, is by definition, if you walk into a room like you just have here on the Kevin and Bean Show, are we already partying? Is that what that means? If you go someplace, it automatically becomes a party, right?
Well, only if you weren't already partying before I got here. But fortunately, I've been listening to the show, and you guys need no help in the party department.
I'm not kidding when I tell you I have a hat on that says party hard.
Yes, in case you didn't get it.
My man, Andrew has always been committed to partying
that's
hard.
Correct.
That's his thing. That's
I got to say, that blew me away to hear all those songs back to back. I don't know if I'm devastated by it or if I'm excited about it. It's like seeing your life flash before your eyes.
We told our production guy, Omar, just pick all of the parts where he sings about partying and put them together.
It's amazing.
That wasn't that difficult.
Is there ever a time where you sit down to write a song and you think, I'm going to pull out the old thesaurus and see if I can find a different word for party?
I have. Celebration. That's
good.
You know,
nice. Oh,
yeah, that's a good one. There's a lot of syllables there. then there's revelry.
Okay. That's
a little more archaic.
Yeah, that's tough to rhyme as well.
Yeah, and, you know, birthdays, people automatically think of partying, but that's kind of been covered by the Beatles and then that happy birthday song. So I just stuck with party.
With party.
No, yeah. I think it's good. Now, the reason Andrew WK is making the rounds this week is because, believe it or not, a couple of months ago was the 10-year anniversary of your, and you had other records out before, but your big-time major label debut, I Get Wet, was 10 years ago already.
Yeah.
That's when
How
most of us found out about
been
you.
10 years?
Don't ask me. I mean, I woke up one day and realized it was 10 years and it felt like 10 days or 10 decades.
Yeah.
It was, you know, time flies when you're partying hard.
Sure. Exactly, yeah. So you're kind of, it's a victory lap for you, basically. So you're going all over the country. Like tonight, you're going to be at the Avalon. You're doing a show where you're going to play the entire album live, right?
Yes. I Get Wet, the album, front to back. We've done it now four shows. We're four shows into the tour, but we're really finding our groove now. So, yeah, you get to hear the entire album, and then we'll play songs from the other albums,
too. So tonight at the Avalon, you can get tickets to Ticketmaster, and then Saturday night at the Glass House in Pomona.
Yes, amazing place.
How did the Andrew WK party experience get started? Like, you have been a musician for a long time. You've done lots of different kinds of music. How did it all come together in that magnificent time period of I Get Wet 10 years ago?
Well, I moved to New York City. That was a big thing. I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and that's a great place, too. A lot of great rock music comes out of there, of course. But I always had my eye set on the Big Apple. And when you move there, the first thing that happens is you hopefully meet people.
Yeah.
And I signed up with these folks, and they made my dreams come true.
We get so frustrated living here in Los Angeles because the entire day ends at 11 p.m.
Right.
Everything closes.
What is up with that?
I don't know. And then you go to New York and you don't put on your clothes to go out until 11 p.m.
That's exactly right.
It's up and you're up when you leave, the sun is up.
I love that. I love that. You know, in New York City, I don't want to ever pick favorites, but for me, I felt like it is where I was meant to go. And I got a song on the I Get Wet album called I Love New York City. So, you know, it made my whole adventure begin, and I haven't left and have no plans on leaving, although I do like visiting Los Angeles very much.
Oh, so much better to live here, but then you go party there.
Yeah, well, okay, or vice versa. For me, it's vice versa.
Okay, all right.
So partying has taken you all over the world. Japan is especially in love with Andrew WK. How come?
You know, I've been trying to figure that out, but I don't try too hard. Whatever they are finding in this, I don't want to, you know, dissuade them.
It's noticeable, but
it could be
who
like
knows
a,
why.
A translation mistake or something. I don't want to, you know, mess it up. It's just been incredible because I really like Japan, too. And
maybe they
it.
Think you're singing about work.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. The salarymen. They do love to work there.
That's right.
And there is a, you know, there is a work ethic to partying hard.
That's true.
When you're going to party and party hard, it does take physical effort.
That's true.
So maybe that's what it is.
Yep. Now, we talk to people all the time on the show. We have guests here on the Kevin and Bean Show who may be famous, you know, say for smoking out. Like a guy like, you know, Doug Benson comes in and everybody knows he's a great stoner. Or Be Real or something like that. Right. So they come in and we talk to them about how everywhere they go, somebody wants to smoke out with them because that's what they think they do all the time. Is it like that with you where people insist on partying with you even if you just want to sit there and read your book?
I gotta say, and I'm sure you hear this a lot too.
First of all, I don't think you want to sit there and read a book. Go ahead.
Well, I do love reading books, but I will read them while partying. And that's the thing. I always defined partying as what you enjoy doing. Like, it doesn't need to be a Friday celebration for the weekend. Doesn't need to be a New Year's thing. It's like you're celebrating what you're grateful for, and I'm grateful for being alive. So just being in that state of mind is the party for me.
But once you started with the party, you got known for that.
Yes.
You must not have bought another drink.
Oh, well,
the rest of your life.
I will not complain about that. That's true. That is a very nice side effect.
Everywhere you go, the guy who parties, somebody will buy him a drink. That doesn't make any sense, but it's fantastic.
I'm very grateful for that, yes.
Now, are you as, maybe this is a question you can't answer or don't want to answer, honestly, but are you as happy a person in your real life as opposed to your stage life as Andrew W.K.? Or do you just go home and just softly weep into your pillow every night?
Well, I mean, I've had ups and downs like anybody else. And actually, doing Andrew W.K. was, for me, almost like a self-help therapy. I wanted to find something to put my time into that made me feel better and hopefully cheered other people up, too. I mean, getting on that stage isn't an effort to be happy. It automatically happens. When you're surrounded by that kind of joy, the music itself, it brings me to being my best. And, you know, I've still struggled with darkness like anybody else. But as long as you keep going towards the light, Not all the way, because I don't want to die yet.
You're right, you're right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, those of you that are close, don't go to the light.
Don't go all the way
there
yet.
You're on the bubble. You're listening in the hospital.
Gee whiz. Holy smokes.
And let me ask you one more thing before we take a break and come back more with Andrew W.K. And again, the show is at the Avalon tonight and at the Glass House in Pomona on Saturday night. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster for tonight, Ticketfly for Saturday. And that is, a record like yours is... it's fun to listen to. It's critic proof, though. It doesn't. It can't matter to you if somebody somewhere writes this music is dumb, because that's kind of the point of it, right? Which is, it's just supposed to be dumb and fun.
I want people to find whatever they want. And that's something I learned real early on, reading bad reviews or reading people's critical comments about me, even saying I'm a bad person or I hate women or whatever they would interpret.
Right.
I realized that their opinion is right. Even if it's just to them. And if I can find a way to even use their bad vibe and somehow make it fuel me, that's the key. Don't ever let it bring you down. Let the negativity and the haters actually empower you further. So, you know, they're not going to stop this party. That's for sure.
I have to write that down. Hang on.
I think we're getting a taste of the Andrew W.K. motivational speaking.
Yes.
Which I do want to talk about.
Next thing, I'm going to be out on a grass field walking on coals for Andrew W.K.
That's what's going to happen.
I'll join you.
Andrew is here. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more right after this on the Kevin and Bean. I kind of feel like this party has reached a fever pitch. I don't even know if I can keep up anymore.
Oh, we're partying, that's for sure.
Andrew W.K. is in studio with us. I can't believe for the first time ever on the Kevin and Bean Show, because we have been fans of yours for a long time. Well, the I Get Wet 10-year anniversary tour is in town at the Avalon in L.A. tonight. Ticketmaster.com for tickets. Saturday at the Glass House in Pomona. Ticketfly.com for that. And I remember so well, I mean, time does fly when you're partying, like you said earlier, Andrew, but I remember so well when your album came out, because back then there were this thing called record stores. The kids don't know what it is, but
I remember those.
But I remember seeing your album in stores, and it had your big ugly face on the front of it, and just blood all over the lower half of your face, like you had either killed and eaten a live bear, or you've been hit in the teeth. But remember, they actually covered it. They actually put like brown paper wrapper over it in a lot of stores.
That,
the,
oh, yeah,
the image was too violent.
It was censored. It was censored, and actually, it was censored because in England,
you ate a bear.
Well, no, I would have loved to have eaten a beer. I heard the meat is quite tender.
A bear.
I'll eat a beer and a beer.
back to you were saying in English.
It was it was actually the government, the advertising standards division of the government in England, in the UK, did ban the cover from public display, and that was, you know, the best and worst thing.
That only helps, right?
I guess so. I mean, we put that sticker on for the U.S. because Walmart and stores like that wouldn't carry it otherwise, and all that happened is people said, I wanted to see what was underneath that black sticker.
Of course, that's all it ever does.
It's a mystery.
Tell me about tell me about the photo shoot or the idea for the photo shoot of your face all covered in blood. What was that supposed to be about?
Well, I couldn't think of any time I'd ever seen anyone use on an album cover a bloody nose. And I thought, this is the most violent image in terms of lots of blood and looks really intense, catches your eye, that doesn't necessarily represent violence. I mean, any kid, if it's had a bloody nose from too dry weather or picking his nose, or my grandmother's had bloody noses, you know, it doesn't involve violence. And I thought, I'm going to own this. I'm going to be the bloody nose guy.
That is a goal worth going after. You know what
I mean? Like, I'm going to be the party guy.
When you're on your deathbed, you could go, I was the bloody nose guy.
That's my tombstone right there.
Now, was it fake blood, or did you have somebody come and hit you in the face to make the photo?
No.
Hit yourself with a brick or something. Is that true?
Yes. I used to do a lot of facial mutilation, and it was not a cry for help. It was one to get cool photos, like cutting my head and things like that. And actually, if you just stick, you don't need to, you know, break your nose, which I've done 4 times on stage.
Wow.
Not proud of that. On purpose or not on purpose? Well, one time I kicked myself in the face by accident.
That's funny.
And all the other times where I was headbanging and someone's head got in the way of my bang.
Yeah,
banging a head with my head bang.
Yeah. Ouch.
And that does hurt if anyone's ever broken their nose.
I bet the show goes on, right?
Yes, we've always finished our shows. I've broken my foot as well on stage always finished that. I twisted my knee during a motivational self-help new age lecture. That was actually quite embarrassing.
How did you hurt yourself talking?
Yeah, well, I got up to do a dance move to show how you can just be free and have some fun and go crazy. And then I collapsed on the floor. And people thought it was all part of the show.
Of course.
Almost puking from the pain.
That guy's way dedicated to his craft.
You mean you literally partied till you puked?
I have done that, mostly from eating Indian food too close to showtime. Yeah, 3 hours, it's too close.
Tell me about this motivational speaking, because I understand that is something that you've done a fair amount of over the last few years. And what do you have? I mean, look, your situation is unique. What do you have that you take from the Andrew W.K. experience that you can then share with other people that's useful to their lives?
Well, I mean, it is a psych-up session. That really is the idea, to get everybody in a room together, much like a concert, but instead of using the music to get us pumped up, we will just talk. And it's an open forum, so we can talk about anything. But really, the goal is to discuss why life is awesome and to let that be a lesson that we can take away out of the room. And I got really into New Age philosophy and sort of esoteric philosophy and tried to incorporate that into the idea of celebrating not being dead. That's pretty much the idea.
What kinds of groups would hire you
Wait,
to be
motivational
speaker?
We're not dead? Was your message was we're not dead?
Yeah. Well, you could also say we're alive. But I guess that's an easier way.
All right.
I didn't think
I'm
of it.
Sorry.
I didn't think of that.
Who hires you? I mean, are you talking to like a, you know, a real estate convention priest? Or something? Where do you go?
Catholic Church,
we did Harvard.
You did Harvard?
Yes. The Harvard Lampoon gave me the Entertainer of the Year, which Paris Hilton had gotten 2 years before, but also...
Oh, you must be so proud.
Making it meaningless.
No, well, to me, that was a big, you know, I consider her a great entertainer. But also, I went to Yale.
Okay.
Twice, actually. They have a class there about partying.
What?
No! This is real. Look it up.
No.
It was very controversial.
In Yale. They
At Yale. There is a class
that
about
explains
partying.
George W. Bush.
That's absurd. That's the one thing every college student knows how to do.
I'm telling you, it was very controversial. And then, you know, Carnegie Mellon, a lot of universities, NYU. And then, you know, also.
Do you make big dough doing that?
Well, the colleges can pay very well. Yeah. I never got to go to college, so this is the closest thing. And I'm actually, my dad, who is a professor, he's an academic, he's just amazed that the son who didn't even go to college is now getting to speak to the students.
Do you call him up and go, Yale?
Yeah, I don't know if he's proud or humiliated.
Andrew, what is the special live party chat that you do from time to time? And I know you're doing it again this weekend, right? Sunday at 3 p.m. What are you doing?
Yes, thank you. Every week, I mean, I love the computer. Every week I use the power of the computer to party around the planet. So you can tune in. AndrewWK.com has all the details. And, you know, we use this webcam thing. Have you seen this?
Yeah. I've not seen yours. Of course, I've seen the ladies on the webcam, but I haven't seen what you do.
Oh, geez. I'm not going to get
good.
Completely naked.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Let's just move on from that. No, but we talk about partying. It's a jam session. It's a pep rally to get each other in that party mode. It's like a time to touch base with all the partiers around the world.
Here's what I don't understand.
Okay.
Who needs a pep rally to party? You know what I mean? Like, I'm really
really feeling down.
We should party.
No.
Really?
Most of us just need a Friday and a 40, and we're set.
Somebody says, get a drink, and you're in.
You'd be surprised. I agree. Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be Friday. What about Monday morning?
Fine.
Maybe that's where we need the pep rally.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. You can follow Andrew on Twitter at WK, and you should.
At Andrew WK.
Yeah, Andrew WK.
Excuse me. At Andrew WK. I was looking at it, and I still said it wrong. The website is andrewwk.com. And again, the shows are at the Avalon tonight and then the Glass House on Saturday night. You can get tickets for both and details on the website, too. And then
especially if you're not sure you want to party.
Right.
If you're in that no man's land where you go, I'm not sure I'm into partying, go to these shows and Andrew will help you out.
I'll push you over the edge.
I'm so glad you came in, man. Thanks so much for the time.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. 106.7
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's 9:42.
Yeah.
We partied with Andrew W.K. That happened.
I don't think we partied.
You talked to him?
Bean doesn't know the word party.
He doesn't recognize the symptoms of partying.
Right.
I told you that if he's in the room, it's automatically a party. No. So we technically have partied.
Yeah, but if you're in the room, it's automatically not a party. So you guys cancel each other out.
That's true. As hard as he parties, he cancels Bean out.
We hit the null party level, which is when party and anti-party matter come together and create a vision of some sort.
You guys don't think I party? You don't know me.
You don't party.
All. You never have.
I don't know hardly anything about you. I've known you for over a dozen years. I've known nothing about your world or your life or how you live. The one thing I'm certain of is you don't party.
You don't know, man.
I know, man.
Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat now on the Kevin DeBeat Show. What's going on?
Happy name tag day, everybody. Happy name tag day. So make sure I got that out to all my friends who are celebrating with their name tags.
No one's celebrating that day. If you wear a name tag, you're a loser.
Oh, come on. Some people have to, and they go to their jobs, like, you have to wear one.
You mean like police officers? Is that what you're talking about?
No, not police officers.
And the Army?
No, that's not what I meant at all.
Sure. Tell you what Kevin drives. You want to call in? LAPD looking for what Kevin drives. I can give you a license plate number.
They know.
And a make and model, if you're so inclined.
They know.
Rob Pattinson apparently is going to lend his voice to a new movie being created by Paul McCartney.
Oh, great.
Rob Pattinson and his girlfriend Kristen Stewart had lunch with Paul McCartney this week to talk about playing roles in his new animated feature film.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda has no word on whether Glenda was cast yet or not. The movie will be called High in the Clouds.
That makes sense now.
And it is about an orphaned squirrel named Whirl, who lives on an island called Animalia.
Come on!
Obviously.
Does he not have anybody around him to go, that's stupid, Paul?
Paul is out. I think he used up all of his talent in the 60s and 70s, and now he's just got nothing left, and he's making a movie about a squirrel named Whirl, who lives on Animalia.
Come on.
That's a terrible idea.
Rob Pattinson may play Whirl the Squirrel.
He used to be a beetle.
Yeah. Now he's making this. So they deserve each other, those people.
Wow.
All getting together. What are we going to do now that Snooki's pregnant? That's what MTV's asking themselves. Well, apparently they are shifting gears on the new spinoff show between Snooki and JWoww. Instead of partying, the new show will highlight Snooki getting ready for motherhood and her new life as a grown-up, with JWoww along for the ride.
Will that show make it to the air? Question one.
Oh, yes, of course
it
will.
My answer is no.
It absolutely will.
Once it makes it to the air, will it get past three episodes?
That
My answer is no.
Well, here's the thing about MTV. They never take anything off. When's the last time MTV canceled a show?
But
they make them and then they just run them. They're going to have
negative viewers for this show. They're going to actually lose people.
I can't imagine anybody wants to tune in watching Snooki take Lamaze classes.
Right.
But, she also told Us Weekly magazine that she's not planning to come back to Jersey Shore for the sixth season.
What will we do?
Not watch. Because no matter what you think of that show, her train wreck of a life is...
That's part of
one of the interesting factors about that show. It's why people tune in, right?
Yep.
You don't want to see Sammy and Ron hold hands on a roller coaster. I mean, you want to see Snooki get loaded and punched and, F around and do what she does. So MTV can't be happy with these latest developments. But look, everything comes to an end.
That's right.
While we're talking about babies, have you seen the cover of Elle magazine with Jessica Simpson nude on the cover, pregnant?
No.
Yeah, I've seen it, but nude, if you're covering everything up, really isn't much nude.
It's like Demi Moore did.
Exactly like that, Lisa. It's a sort of a profile shot, her showing off her giant belly, holding her breasts, and saying, look at me, aren't I beautiful when I'm pregnant, basically.
Yeah.
What magazine is putting that on the cover?
It's Elle. Elle magazine.
Kind of embarrassing to just rip off the iconic Demi Moore cover 20 years later.
Well, I don't think about many people remember that, do they?
That's probably the...
I mean, I think that's the tribute that she's doing. I think she did this photo shoot to look exactly like Demi's.
But Demi's was, she was body painted, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, she did a different one where she was body painted.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When she wasn't pregnant.
Regardless, it's Jessica trying to cash in more on her pregnancy.
Exactly.
I'll tell you something, the airbrush team... the squadron of airbrushers they flew in for this project is quite remarkable, because if you take a look at Jessica walking around pregnant versus this pregnant,
yeah,
she can't look that bad with clothes on and then look that good with clothes off.
Good point.
So they've earned their money over there at Elle.
And doesn't she understand we don't care? We don't like Jessica Simpson. The only thing we care about is looking at Jessica Simpson if she looks hot. So if she doesn't look hot, it's pointless to even involve her in the world.
Kevin is scrolling through a thing here on the internet and shows all different magazine covers of other celebrities who have done a pregnant nude cover, including Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Cindy Crawford, Claudia Schiffer.
Wow.
So, looks like Demi doesn't have the corner market on being naked and pregnant. Now, I can't imagine why all these women think we want to see them naked and pregnant. Maybe it's for the other girls. Maybe it's for the other moms saying, look at me, I'm still sexy, even though...
Yeah, I don't understand that either, though.
They're wrong, too.
Because only women buy Elle, right? For the most part.
Yeah, it is a woman's magazine.
Yeah. So
well,
maybe...
obviously, yeah, they're not... this isn't a Playboy cover.
Right.
You don't want to see that. Maybe Gynecologist Weekly or something. They would put them on the cover. But
I get that. They haven't yet.
They haven't helped promote the fantasy that pregnant women look good.
Now, listen. Stop it.
Wow.
I'm serious.
Stop it.
I'm being serious about it.
No, I'm being serious about it. Pregnant women who are pregnant can look lovely.
If you're married to them, I think, yes, that's when it becomes personal.
You know, some women are good at being pregnant. They have a certain glow and they have a certain radiance about them.
I imagine Cindy Crawford looked really good.
Yeah, but my point is...
did she look better than when she wasn't pregnant?
Yeah, to try to sell it as a particularly sexy image or as something evocative or even provocative, I think you're barking up the wrong tree.
I agree.
Especially when, as Bean mentioned, I can't believe I'm agreeing with him, but...
don't agree with him.
When someone is known for being... scantily clad and sexy and does a lot of photographs like a Cindy Crawford or Claudia Schiffer, then as a pregnant woman, it seems anticlimactic. Bean's an asshole. Well, that's true. Back to you.
Literally anticlimactic, by the way.
And more... more nudity I'm not interested in. The Hulk Hogan sex tape is out there. According to TMZ.com, a woman having sex with Hulk Hogan shot some grainy video, and she is now trying to sell it primarily to Vivid, which is, of course, a legendary porn company. Hulkster came back and saying he was with so many chicks after he left his ex-wife that the woman could be any one of many possible conquests. He can't imagine which woman it was.
You
he's
all
identified
this
as a brunette, so he can't put a pin in it, so to speak.
You don't hear this very often, but he said, as soon as I broke up with my wife, I started wrecking it.
Just banging everything. Everything with a Y chromosome. Or is that dudes? I forget how it breaks down. But, yeah. He said for 4 months he went on an alcohol-fueled sex bender. And that was stopped just before he met his current wife. So,
the best way to get over someone is to get under someone
else.
He also said he was set up. He didn't give permission to have his sex filmed at any point. So he...
do both sides have to agree?
This is
it
always
on the state.
Yeah,
I think
this is always hinky. I'm not sure exactly how the law falls on this one, but I know it's been done in the past where tapes have been sold without the consent of the other person. And then usually the other person gets on board because at least they get some percentage of the sales if they can't stop it from being released. But in this case, Hulk said he will try to prosecute the woman once she's identified, and he'll take legal action. So
my only interest in this, I really don't want to see Hulk Hogan having sex, but my only interest is if this is going to go in the list of sad celebrity sex tapes, like the R. Kelly one, which was just depressing.
Him just sitting there?
The Gene Simmons one, yeah, which neither side was having any kind of fun at all. If it's like that, then maybe it might be funny enough to watch.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Come on.
This is about wrestling. I'd like China to be in it. China and Hulk comparing penises. You know what I mean? Something fascinating. Like that. And why can't we see this woman in a sex tape? Katy Perry announced her new 3D movie that'll be out this summer.
It's a 3D sex tape?
No, it's a 3D movie, a concert film called Katy Perry Part of Me. Yeah, yeah. I want to see part of her. You know what part?
Mm-mm.
This one.
This one right there. She doesn't have one of those, Ralph.
Yeah, she does. As far as I know.
You know people can't see your hand
motions,
right?
I know, that's why I'm doing this.
Okay.
This is named after her big hit record that's out right now, Part of Me.
Oh, really? I thought she was going to show a part of herself that we haven't seen so far. It's coming out this summer. She tweeted it. Finally, my movie's coming out with Paramount this summer. It's called Katy Perry, Part of Me, presented in 3D. Katy Cats, let's trend.
Let's trend.
Katy Cats are apparently her fan base, known as Katy Cats. Katy Cats. Can't believe Bean's not a Katy Cat. He's a
nope.
He's a blabberber.
Yeah, he goes for young boys. He doesn't go for chicks.
He's a fanalo.
Yeah.
I enjoy Katy Perry. I'm a fan of hers as well.
Are you a Katy Cat?
Myself a Katy Cat.
Are you a believer?
I am a believer.
I rest my case.
Yeah. Are you a claymate?
I am. You know, he doesn't really record anymore, so.
Bean's got a shot with, and he's not that interested in.
I feel like my membership elapsed on that. Or lapsed, rather, on the Claymates.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Yep, yep.
Oh, I forgot. I'm giving away Guns N' Roses tickets here, aren't I?
Yay!
Almost forgot. Thank God Bean went up.
Well, Chip has been riding my digital ass to make sure that we give them away, otherwise we get in trouble.
Sounds like your own sex tape, maybe.
Digital ass hurt?
Yes, it is your choice of Guns N' Roses concerts. You can either go to the Palladium March the 9th or the Wiltern Sunday, March the 11th. Tickets are available on sale right now for both shows, but if you'd like to go, you get your choice. 1-800-520-1067. Be caller number 20 right now. Tell Chip which show you want to go to, and boom, it's just that easy. You get to see Guns N' Roses. You may want to pack a lunch, just saying. When you get there versus time they go on stage, you may get a little peckish. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kat Von D, tattoo legend. Kat Von D is 30 years old today. Tom Chaplin of Keen is 33, as is guitarist Andy Ross of OK Go. James Vanderbeek's 35 years old. Freddie Prinze Jr. turns 36 today. Actor Aidan Quinn, soon to be seen in the new Sherlock Holmes TV series Elementary, with Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu as Watson. He's 53 years old today. And singer Gary Numan, who brought us Cars. He's 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have, let me look here.
Okay, Ralph, what do you got?
What's a Ralph secret break? What's
that? Oh, you're not going to want to miss my secret break tomorrow.
Secret break.
That can't be good news for Kevin or Bean.
As Kevin and Bean historian emeritus, I'm going to bring in some previously unheard.
This is always bad news for one of us.
Audio that you're not going to want to miss tomorrow on the show.
Or both of us. No!
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yeah, well,
we also have,
give you one.
We also have Adam Scott on the program tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so good.
We have Jensen Karp on the show tomorrow.
Love he's Karpy. So good.
Karpy. You're turned off by smart women.
What?
That's a turnoff. We ran into a bunch of this. I think it was last week when you were around, maybe Monday when you were on
Monday
vacation.
Monday when I was sick.
Yeah. LaQuisha will take a look at Jersey Shore. We got the movie bee. We have a brand new internet roundup. And we have your tickets for April Foolishness. It's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and